It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go.
Head
on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running. This program is, in fact, live. It is the 29th day of September, 2021. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us live on the interweb tubes. And it's also where you go if you'd like to be part of the Merry Wacky's any real-time multimedia extravaganza that we hold forth every evening during the or afternoon. I mean, when this program's live, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe around. Hi. I'm Robin, and, doggone it, I'm sorry about yesterday. That sucked, but it was not my fault. We had an internet outage. These things apparently happen. And so, absent internet, it becomes impossible to do this here radio show, because we don't have a transmitter tower and all of that stuff. And the flageolet and the Knutton valve were to no avail without some internet, and the packets are passing, and nobody's said anything to me about blips yet, knock wood. And so hopefully this prayer meeting Wednesday will come off without a hitch. Yeah. But no, it did suck. I was all ready to go, and then nothing. So you'll have that. Anyway, if you'd like to be part of the aforementioned Merry Madcap, Wacky Zany, etc., well, pop on by HeadOn.live, click on chat room. If you've never been there before, pick yourself out a screen name and a password. And when you pop in, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Kiazzi and Squeaky, and currently moderated by, well, me. And I'm not very good at the whole moderating thing, but oh well. I have no doubt that Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, will be along. In fairly short order. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And so a multitude of thanks go out to our subscribers for both the 28th and the 29th. And what that means is thanks, very kind thanks to Joseph. Thank you, Joseph. And thank you to David in San Diego, and thank you to Tracy, and thank you to Colin, and thank you to Andy the Angry Jew, as well as thank you to Randy Radar, and thank you to Charlene in Rogues Island, thank you to Sharon, thank you so much to Suman, thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. It means, well, it means that this program continues, and that's the only way that it does continue until I win the lottery, and I don't think that's going to happen, what with me not buying tickets and all, you know. Hey, meet me halfway. Buy a ticket. No. But thank you, one and all. The fundraising goal, and there are, we're just talking about the week now. There is about $1,000 to go in fundraising. We have $333 worth of challenges, courtesy of Larry and Liberalville's Freedom Through Unity Challenge, to get us to the end of the month. So that challenge, that doubling money, is out there and just waiting to double somebody's money. So your 5 becomes 10, 10 becomes 20, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you. Thank you so much, Larry. And thanks to all of you who have responded so far. We're kind of in a downhill sprint to finish the month. And thank you for getting us as close as we are. Harvard honeymoon, Joey's Journal. Joey writes, we're in transit back from Boston today, and guess who's coming home, back home with us? None other than Jeffrey, because the honeymoon at Harvard became too much for Harvard, considering all the co-eds fell in love with Jeffrey and were literally fighting each other for the right to have Jeffrey stay in their dorm room. Well, the officials at Harvard Yard did not realize how popular I am and how much commotion I would cause on campus, so Dean Ivy Mechton suggested I do my business studies from a remote location. I was irate, when Joey told me that I would not be able to remain at the Harvard campus, so I told Dean Ivy Mechton, or Dean Wormer, Dean D. Wormer, that he, Dean D. Wormer, you see, yeah, okay. That he was a horse's ass. I could have remained with the rowing team right by the Charles River on campus. All they would have had to do was simply pass a new ordinance. I guess he, that giraffe, got him some new words up there at Harvard. In light of the conversation on the program Monday night featuring all the morons not getting vaccinated, this date in history is a very interesting day indeed. The Titanic Tuesday struggle continues. On this day in 1918, during the world's worst flu epidemic in history, the so-called Spanish flu had its first major outbreak, causing multiple deaths in Spain. An estimated 30 million people died worldwide. Here in the States, the city of Philadelphia was hit the hardest after the Liberty Loan Parade caused tens of thousands to be infected and killed 12,000 in the city. Ironically, 675,000 people died in the entire United States during the pandemic, and thanks to all the morons currently not being vaccinated, we're probably right at that mark for COVID. On this date in 1928, while working at his laboratory at St. Mary's Hospital in London, Alexander Fleming discovers penicillin by accident when he notices that many of his culture's dishes were contaminated with a fungus that had a positive antibacterial effect on multiple organisms, providing the basic block for the start of modern antibiotics. Junior, vax is poetic. Oh, nice, Junior. I wonder if any of these anti-vaxxers have ever used penicillin at any time in their lives. You're a smart little giraffe, you are. Good point, Junior. Finally, on this date in 1963, in one of the biggest undertakings in history against polio, the Sabin oral vaccine is taken with a lump of sugar by children all over this country. The vaccine had to be kept refrigerated prior to use and required 6 doses to provide full immunity against the deadly disease. It is stunningly amazing all of the medical breakthroughs that have been discovered, including these vaccines and the snakes on networks such as Fox are preening. Feed 'em! Jeffrey Fox Trots. Feed 'em? You maggot morons are free to be dumb, but not free to commit bioterroristic manslaughter. One lady was so dumb, she said she was waiting for all the vaccines to be FDA approved. Joey then asked the lady, why? If you don't believe in or like government, why would you care whether or not the vaccine is FDA approved or not? Since we were just in Boston at Fenway, we will end with the fact that this day in 1941, Ted Williams entered the final day of the season with a batting average of .401 and could have sat out the doubleheader and ended the season at a sure .400. However, the great Ted Williams played in both games, going 6-for-8, and ended up the season at .406. Ted Williams still remains the only player to ever hit .400 in a season. No, he's not the only player to ever hit .400 in a season in Major League Baseball history. There were other .400 hitters before him. Ted Williams is the last baseball player to have batted .400. And Junior ends the day. Ted Williams played that day and took his shot at history. Now you anti-vaxxers better take your shot or you too say it may soon be history. Indeed, he's a deep thinker, that little Junior. He's coming along. This has been Joey's Journal for Titanic Tuesday, the 28th of September, with Giraffery looking to deworm the anti-vaxxers. And so there's a $10 deworm the deniers challenge. Thank you. Thank you so much. So very much, Joey and Giraffery and Junior, for that challenge. So that means there's $343 in challenges on the table. And if it would have, without the challenge, okay. So if, because I got to do it this way because it's prayer meeting Wednesday. If the $333 worth of challenges, the Freedom Through Unity Challenger, man, then we will have knocked out $666. See, prayer meeting Wednesday, 666. We will have knocked out $666 of the 1,000 or so that we need to raise. And that will be huge. So, and then after that, we will meet the challenge, Joey and Giraffe's challenge, and that'll get us to $686 worth knocked down. I got a correction here on the quick via Twitter. Hey Sailor says, Sabin vaccine didn't need six doses, one or two, each a drop on a sugar cube. I got it when I was little, and I'm about 10 years older than you. I never got it. I was so sick as a child, I missed that one. And I didn't get the smallpox vaccine either, which is worrisome. But, yeah, thank you. Thank you for that correction. Yeah, it was like two, I think. Yeah. I also had a note yesterday from Andy the Angry Jew, who jumped in yesterday on fundraising. And I thought I would share this because it's a thought-provoking note. And for that reason, let's give this some consideration. Hi, Andy. Good evening to Robin and all the great supporters worldwide. I have an observation recently about comments made by members of the community denouncing other progressive hosts. I'll be blunt, I don't like it at all. I started with Mike Malloy right when Air America came on. He was my first exposure to rage progressive radio, blew me away. To me, Mike is the godfather. Yeah, I think I'm the one who gave him that term. Mike is the godfather of progressive radio. Everyone descends from here. Long before it was fashionable, finally found someone who could express my rage. A few years after that, I became acquainted with Tom Hartman. These subtle shots seem to be aimed at him more than anyone. I understand the feelings, but to dog him is not right. I learned a lot of factual information from listening to his show and got exposed to Bernie Sanders long before he became a candidate for president. Then Stephanie Miller, another one. 7 years ago, I guess, I was fooling around on TuneIn, and I discovered Robin. My feeling is Robin's the best of them all. Well, darn shucks. Thank you, Andy. I do not share your sense there, but I think they're, anyway, but thank you. I've never seen anybody who can go 3 hours, not take a break, be funny and relevant and not boring, not blowing smoke up anybody's butt because I don't agree with everything she says. One example, Lollapalooza. Robin blew the event up. Well, my son attended that event, so the attacks about the event were taken a little bit personal, but again, I understand. It did not turn out to be a super spreader event because of the high level of mask wearing. Mask wearing in Chicago is a religion for everybody. So Robin was wrong, and I didn't know that. And it's okay. I can be wrong. I'm not one of those people who, oh, Jesus, no. Sometimes the Horn family shies away from disagreeing. I think that can be harmful. Is that not what we accuse the other side of being guilty of? Sorry, Robin, for ending the sentence with a preposition. Oh, yeah. No. That's okay, Andy. For those of our progressive brothers and sisters who choose to earn money from commercial sponsors, there's nothing wrong with it. To say there is not right. Everybody has an opportunity to earn a living. I see the criticisms as dissension among the ranks. Let's try to keep these to a minimum, because we need everybody to be together rather than apart. All of our progressive broadcasters bring some kind of value. If they can earn money doing it, great. Robin chooses not to. That is, have commercials or... You know, I don't think Andy's saying I don't bring value or I don't earn money. But we don't do commercials here. That's great, too, Andy says. There are various options for all of us progressive listeners. Let's sing the praises of them rather than disparage them. Thank you for letting me express my feelings, and I'll be kicking in $10 today. That was yesterday. Sorry, it can't be more. Don't worry. No, that's a lot. It is all so important, Andy, and I thank you so very kindly. So I just want to address a couple of things. I was apparently wrong about Lollapalooza. I apologize. Didn't seem like a good idea at the time, but I can understand. But if people were wearing masks, that helps. The masking helps. We know it. It's scientifically determined that it helps. I mean, there's peer-reviewed data out now. But, and as to the, you know, in my case, the, my objection is to the patent medicines. These herbal natural remedy nostrums. That, well, okay, and maybe the thinking behind it is, well, you know, it may not work, it may not actually be anything, it's just, maybe they're just, you know, but it doesn't do any harm, so where's the harm in it? You know what I mean. And, you know, maybe stupid beats, maybe advertising with stupid beats is not nearly as odious as, say, advertising with some shitty-ass health insurance company, because that's what today's been. You know, I told you about the massive premium increase that I got, and that's really kind of not the topic here, but something in me just sort of, I don't know, tingling spidey sense or something. I'm experiencing a bit of that. But I got to thinking, wait a minute, so, okay, well, what actually precipitated it is when I go down to Alabama, you know, I'm going to have a place to live, a place for Agnes to live. It'll be the same place. But I can't book it until I know for sure that the pre-certification, pre-authorization has gone through. And I hadn't heard anything on that since about 2 weeks ago. And so entirely by accident, I dialed up my healthcare provider, the office that's going to do my surgery, and I asked them about the pre-auth, and oh, well, it shows here on your insurance that your insurance goes out of force and cancels on September 30th, at which point all the blood drained out of my little pink face, and it was like, what? And so that precipitated hours upon hours upon hours of time stolen from the precious finite moments I have on this planet. And it was most of the morning and a big chunk of the afternoon talking to people at the hospital, talking to the people at the insurance company, on and on and on and on. And this is just how fucked up for-profit healthcare can be in the United States. I'm not crawling up the ladder onto the cross to nail myself in. I'm nailed right in. Not doing that. But if I've gone through this, other people have gone through things that are a million times worse. And as awful as this made me feel, it just made my heart go out to anybody who's had to deal with this kind of insanity. I don't know why. And there was certainly no correspondence to this effect. My policy number remains the same, but they changed the group number by a single digit. At the end of the group number. One stupid number. And if I hadn't called today, I'd be sitting around twiddling my thumbs thinking I was going to Birmingham for surgery, when in fact, I'm not, because it wasn't pre-authorized. Lord Jesus, why? And at this point in time, I've made every call I can make. I've talked to every office I can talk to. The new group number is in at the hospital in the doctor's office. And now they've got to submit the authorization package. And the fine folks at the insurance company told me, well, it takes us about 7 to 14 days to make a determination. So now I'm at mid-October. And I'm looking on Airbnb and trying to find a decent place. And, you know, just because I look for shit to worry about. Well, daggummit. I'm scared to death now that I'll get it, you know, somewhere in mid-October. I'll be like, sure would be nice to be able to find a place to freaking live, because I found a place. It's like, you can walk to the hospital. You can, it's downtown. You can walk to the original Pancake House. Right. I mean, that kind of means I love the original Pancake House. I've got a problem. But that's where it gets, I mean, and so limbo. All this logistic stuff that I was hoping to do over the course of a month, I'm not going to be able to do over the course of a month, because I'm going to have to do it in 2 weeks. Ugh. And they just can, these health insurance. They can just do that, I guess. Because, oh, sure, I could lawyer up and litigate, and, you know, 5 years from now I might get some satisfaction, but that's going to be 5 years too late. So I don't know that there's particularly, I mean, this isn't poor, pitiful me, but my God, pay attention to your health. I thought, you know, you buy the insurance, you have the insurance. Apparently not. So now it's sitting around and waiting again. And it is kind of harrowing. So, We shall see. I didn't mean to start the program out this way, but yeah. So yesterday the internet crashes. Today all of this, and it is not good for my it is not good for my Zen equanimity. Okay, it's just not. But one thing I did do, because I'm really working hard on this. Instead of being just hateful about it all, I was because it's real easy in these telephone situations to get frustrated and you know, not nice. And I made a conscious effort to be really, really kind, because people who do telephone work, like telephone customer service work and stuff, it's a miserable job. Yeah, I lasted maybe a year in telemarketing. And no. So, and it turns out I got results out of my just being nice. And, it reminds me of my new motto over at toward the end of Ernest Hemingway's poor closeted trans thing that he was. At the end of... The Sun Also Rises. Jake Barnes and Lady Brett Ashley are in a cab in, I think, Madrid. And Lady Brett looks to Jake and says, "Not being a bitch is what we have instead of God." And it's kind of become a mantra. So, you know, I don't know what works for you. But not being a bitch is what we have instead of God. And it works for me. And I need to thank you so kindly, Scott in Wisconsin. Thank you, Scott. There are now $233 to go in the remainder of the Freedom Through Unity Challenge, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. Thank you. Thank you so much, Scott. Hopefully the rest of that rolls in. And, well, if we can knock down $666 out of... We've got a fighting chance of finishing September to the good tomorrow. So, again, and oh, by the way, program note, reminder, I have to be at an appointment in Huntington, West Virginia, about two and a half hours away on Friday morning. So I'll be leaving out of here at like 6 o'clock, maybe 7 for that. And I don't know how long it'll take. I hope to be back for Friday on the front porch, but I don't know for sure that I will. That's Friday, October the 1st. So tomorrow, I'm hoping we will have a thorn in the front porch Thursday. And then we'll have some more front porch on Friday, if it works out that way. And like I said, I hope to be back. But, you know, Huntington traffic, Charleston traffic, and it, whatever. And then that last schlep up the mountain, the last 50 miles or two-lane winding road up the mountain, so that. But anyway, just a program note. Oh, and with a note for Andy, Steve says, "My very best for not using the passive voice." Well, okay, and thank you for that. Steve says, "And for you, Robin, while Mike Malloy is the godfather of progressive radio, I will take this opportunity to declare you the mother superior of progressive radio." Oh, thank you. That's awfully kind. Randy Radar has a note. I didn't mean to panic people. Apparently, as nearly as I understand it now, the U.S. government will shut down at midnight on Thursday night, Friday morning. But given such a shutdown, the U.S. government will have enough money to carry on through October 18th. Yeah. And it is some of the nastiest brinksmanship. Jesus Christ. And the latest, as of today, Democrats in the Senate continue to try to figure out a way to stop being screwed by the Kentucky turtle. Kind of a little bit like Kentucky Colonel. No, he's the Kentucky turtle. Moscow Mitch McConnell. The report I'm looking at from CBS saying the U.S. is now heading toward default in just a few weeks, which could have catastrophic economic consequences, government officials and economists warn. Yeah, the stock market, the Dow took a shit yesterday to some minus 564 points, something like that. So yesterday, Chuck Schumer called for unanimous consent to hold a vote to increase the debt limit with just a majority of senators. And Schumer's thinking was that since the Republicans are saying Democrats need to do this by themselves because the well-being of this country is nothing more than a political talking point as far as Republicans are concerned. They raised your debt limit. You're more in debt now. No, dumbasses. These are debts that were incurred under Nitwit Nero. But try to explain that to a Fox viewer or someone who sits there dribbling their oatmeal while watching Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. And because he did not want to take any personal responsibility for what he's trying to do for the country, well, a unanimous consent request requires exactly that, unanimous consent. And if even one senator says, object, well, no unanimous consent. So there's Moscow Mitch McConnell objecting to the unanimous consent request. And now the Democrats are trying to scramble to keep the government open, while Republicans, who of course despise government and have been telling us for generations that they despise government, are trying to get the government shut down. Moscow Mitch, God, how I despise him, said, there's no chance the Republican conference will go out of our way to help Democrats conserve their time and energy so they can resume ramming through partisan socialism as fast as possible. Ooh, backpfeifengeschicht. Is that the word? The face in need of slapping? So, yeah, the Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, testified early yesterday that if the Republicans get their way and get to hurt as many people as possible, the government will be unable to pay its bills if there's not action by the 18th day of October. God. And, of course, remember, all of this has to be done. If the Democrats get it done one way or another, it has to be done with the consent of Joe Manchin and Kirsten Curtsey Sinema. Okay, thank you. That is the word. Then there's, thank you, David in South Carolina, Stan, sending this tweet along from Senator Marsha Goodness Blackburn.
Our government is running out of money because Joe Biden's been busy spending it all.
Oh, you stupid... Again, just to reiterate, these are bills that were incurred under the Trump administration when they gave $1.2 trillion away to people who didn't need it. And in terms of a tax cut for the wealthiest among us, this is a great way to think about it. Asking a billionaire to pay $1 million extra in taxes is, in terms of equivalent ratios, the same as asking someone who has $100,000 to pay $100. Oh, eat the rich. So, what's probably will happen is that the debt limit provision will have to go into a budget reconciliation bill that's presently going through the Congress. But Schumer, that's what Moscow Mitch, the King of America, wants. The guy who became King of America with 1.4 million votes from Kentucky Stan. God, that ain't democracy. But Chuck Schumer is not keen on it. He said, going through reconciliation is risky to the country and is a non-starter. He said, it ping-pongs between the House and the Senate, and it can't be done just by putting an amendment in. It sounds like he actually knows what the hell the process is. Because, among other things, Democrats in the Senate would have to revise the budget resolution to include an increase in the debt limit. It has to go back to the House. The House has to send it back to the Senate. And if you were to look at the actual working calendar for October, there are not that many days when Congress is in session. Under the best of circumstances. And there's not a lot of federal holiday. Oh, God. Wait a minute. Is Columbus Day in there? Oh, shit. They don't work that much. We learned that more and more a bunch of years ago when we were trying to get meetings for the AIC Act in congressional offices. Can't do it Monday. Monday's the comeback day. Can't do it Friday. Friday's the getaway day. Oh, wait. There's a Thursday holiday. You know, that kind of crap. I don't understand people, and this is back to that thing that perpetual bugaboo of ours. You know, there are people who rely on the government being open in order to literally stay alive. And yet, if you talk to them about this, you know what, our government's going to bankrupt our grandchildren, babies. Put the debt ceiling bill in the reconciliation bill, Flavio says. I'm sure the parliamentarian won't object, it being a budget item. I'd like to see Manchin and Sinema vote against that. By the way, if you're ever in D.C., down there by the riverside, there's a big old houseboat. It's a house yacht. Who am I kidding? And the name of the boat is Almost Heaven, and its home port listed on the stern is Charleston, West Virginia. That's where Joe Manchin hangs his hat every day when he gets done with the hard work of being a senator for the great state of West Virginia. Yeah, his house yacht. And thank you to our buddy John in Central PA sending this along to me. A bunch of people in kayaks and boats went paddling and floating up to... My God, these privileged panjandrums of the like Manchin. Nobody's gonna. Hey, you know what? We'll live on a houseboat. Nobody. Nobody will come and protest. Yeah, they will. You kidding? Liberals, progressives, kayaks, please. So a bunch of people in kayaks and boats, carrying banners, went up to. They paddled out to Joe's boat. No climate, no deal. Don't sink West Virginia. Don't sink our bill. And literally took the protest right to his vessel. Now, there's one question. So it's the Almost Heaven out of Charleston, West Virginia. Did they transport it by big truck and just drop it in the Potomac at D.C.? because I loved geography and I've always been fascinated with boats, particularly sailing. But you know how you would have to go about getting this boat from Charleston, West Virginia, to the Potomac? Okay, so Charleston sits on the banks of the Great Kanawha. The Great Kanawha empties into the Ohio, which, by the way, at that point belongs entirely to West Virginia, at Point Pleasant. So you take the Ohio, and you bob along the Ohio all the way to where the Ohio empties into the Mississippi at Paducah, Kentucky. And from Paducah, you take the Mississippi all the way down to its mouth, down south of New Orleans. And then I guess you just kind of hug the coastline, because it's not a particularly, it ain't a racing house boat. And you go all the way down the peninsula of Florida, all the way back up around the peninsula, up the Florida coast, the Georgia coast, the South Carolina coast, the North Carolina coast, the Virginia coast. Then you get into the Chesapeake Bay, you follow the Chesapeake Bay up, and eventually you pick up the Potomac, you know, you turn left at Potomac, and, or port, or what the, ever, and you anchor there in D.C. I'm thinking that is not nearly as cool a boat as Travis McGee's Busted Flush of, say, circa 1963. Because Travis McGee fan. But God, how much fuel would that take? Climate change? What climate change? I know. What's that? There's a word in German for Leader McConnell. Leader McConnell should be referred to in the German. For those following at home, this should be easy to figure out. They refer to the little guy with the Charlie Chaplin mustache in the same way in Germany in the 20s and 30s. And the National Socialist soulmates in the Senate will probably start referring to Mitch that way, too. Your buddy, Dave, in the blind. Yeah, of course, that great scene in Doctor Strange. Mein Führer! I can Volk! As the bombs start going off. Animals need to be bred and slaughtered. Yeah. Oh, before we jump into all the prayer meeting Wednesday fun, thank you to our news ninja Gene. Sent along, it was a long read about a public intellectual. I get the cringes every time I see that phrase, public intellectual. And his argument is now understand, he is a white, educated, privileged, wealthy person who teaches at, you know, got a degree from Harvard, advanced degree from MIT. He's a psychologist into cognitive science, and he's one of these people who thinks that the entire world can be reduced to nothing but data points. And I read that, Gene, and it was fascinating. And Pinker, I think is his name, Pinker. Grew up in Canada, and basically makes the same kind of fatuous arguments that that your David Brookses make. And he's, you know, shit's not so bad right now. Fuck income inequality. You know, all we need, you know, we just need to tweak things. We don't need massive wholesale change. And who cares? Who cares if people of different ethnicities bear the brunt, and who cares if the poor bear all the scars from what my class does? And there's talk about how, you know, I visited him at his home on Cape Cod at Provincetown, and he's got a lovely loft apartment he shares with his spouse there in Cambridge. Public intellectuals. And, of course, he's associated with all the usual suspects. I mean, he palled around with Jeffrey Epstein, helped Alan Dershowitz craft Epstein's defense back in the 2000-aughts, the first time he got caught, you know, being the predatory monster that Epstein was. Mm-hmm. It was, I never heard of the guy. But apparently he sold millions of books, and he makes, he makes white privileged people feel good about their privilege, I suppose. Yeah. But it is prayer meeting Wednesday. And we are not without stuff to go into. Oh, no. And we have a, we have someone named Robin that isn't me. And the goddess of irony is paying attention because this evangelist, his name is Robin Bullock. Robin Bull. Yeah. He got a message from God. Isn't it funny how people can just say, I did that, I got a message from God, and people, oh, okay. Not, oh, hearing voices, are we? You know, there's medication for that. I gotta say, since this is a radio program and I don't have the video to show you, I gotta say, my hair is much prettier than this Robin's. It just is. Even though there's less of it. Ugh. Ugh.
You must move quickly, says the Lord. I heard those around you. And I heard this conversation, Steve. I heard those around you that advised you, saying, do not listen to the prophets this time. Thus saith the Lord. They have their own agenda. They are planning their own future, and it does not include you. But I heard this. Listen to this prophet while I'm talking about this. Because I have a mantle from heaven to say these things. This is an anointing to speak.
A mantle? Really? He has a mantle from heaven? Now, is it rustic and wood, or is it marble, or... Or is it a cloak? Language can be so devilish sometimes. Oh, by the way, Steve, serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Research Department, says, Manchin bought the boat from a broker called National Liquidators in 2013. Their Mid-Atlantic office is in Annapolis. I'm thinking he bought it there, and they drove it to where it is. And he paid $200,000 for it, insured it for $700,000. Oh, I'm sure Joe, you know, it's amazing how easily things can go wrong on boats. I mean, as they have so often been described, a boat is a hole in the water you throw money into. And those things can go, boom. All right. Oh, back to the mantle guy. He's a... Well, let's see, there's Elf on the Shelf. What about a... I don't know, what rhymes with mantle?
Into the political realm. I'm a prophet to the nations, and a prophet to this nation, and a prophet from Jerusalem to speak. And the Lord says this, and I heard these things. I heard a conversation say, don't listen to the prophets this time.
Huh?
Wait, do this, do that. I heard their conversation, but the Lord says they have their own agenda in their minds. And it don't include President Trump. It don't include him at all. Wow. They plan on running their time, his time out.
Well, okay. You know what? I guess he's trying to explain it by way of being all enigmatic and shit. But there's something to be said for it because, you know, people, politicians already are beginning to sort of circle overhead and come down and take a little, just sort of grab a little piece of his flesh here and there. Because they know. He built a small army of assholes. And he just wants to, and you know, people like Rona Death Sentence in Florida wants to, glom onto them. Because they're a good dollar. They really are. Yeah. Oh, these people. But that's just, yeah. That's just the beginning of it all. But do please remember, because nobody worries about sex the way that that evangelicals do. There's a gospel sharp out there by the name of John Piper who looks shockingly like Larry David, and he doesn't want anybody role-playing, no, not kidding, in the bedroom. Mm-mm. So this is almost as good as when Pat Robertson answers questions about sex. Ask Pastor John, should couples use role-play in the bedroom?
In the first year of this podcast, we decided to address mature topics and awkward questions. No apologies about that. If you're comfortable asking us, we'll address it.
Because it turns the pervy Christians on. Right.
Question is a mature one for married couples. The question arises from men and from women. Here are three representative emails I've picked out. First, an anonymous wife writes in, Pastor John, I have a question. It's embarrassing, but here it is. My husband likes to use role-playing in the bedroom in various levels of bondage and dominance. He wants me to say things like, I am your slave. He wants me to wear certain collars around my neck. To the far extreme, he likes to fantasize that he is raping me.
Oh, dear. Sounds like a Christian couple. I always think back to Selmer, Tennessee, and the good, God-fearing Church of Christ wife who got so tired of having to put on a wig and stripper heels every time, so that her upstanding Bible-believing, God-fearing, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christian husband could scrounge up a stiffy, that eventually she shot him in the back with a 12-gauge shotgun.
He's a very nice person outside of the bedroom. He only asks if he can play out the fantasy in bed. What should I do? Second, another anonymous wife writes in, Dear Pastor John, thank you for the podcast. I have been...
Let's remember, she asks, what should I do? A lot of these evangelical outfits make no bones about the fact that, you know, wives submit unto your husband as the church submits unto Christ. Now, does this mean that Jesus occasionally walks into the sanctuary and, I don't know, thigh-high patent leather boots with a riding crop and a little thong or something? I don't know. But...
Been married for 20 years. Before we got married, my husband told me he had struggled with porn. After we were married, he asked me to try some of the things he saw in the porn he had watched. I consented. Our premarital counselor told us that anything was okay in the marriage bed with mutual consent, and I wanted to please my husband. But this has had a detrimental effect on our marriage. I'm now to the point where I don't want any physical intimacy and he doesn't feel loved. Was it okay for us to do those things since we agreed at the time? I think dominance in the bedroom is completely anti-biblical. My husband continues to think it's fine with mutual consent. And third and finally, the question also arises from a husband. Pastor John, my wife recently told me she was unfaithful to me and hasn't had an emotional connection with me in sex or in general since we got married 3 years ago. She wants to engage in domineering sexual acts that I see as sinful. She thinks I'm too boring in bed. She now wishes to leave me so I can find a new wife and so that she can engage in sex.
Well, I think we have a solution here. I don't know. Maybe they're pitching this as a reality TV show. Evangelical spouse swapping. Okay, so wife number one, you get with husband number three. Wife number three, husband number one, and I don't know what we do about couple numbers. Sometimes there has to be a loser.
Sexual experiences with other men. How do I respond? Pastor John, how would you respond to all three?
Here are five perspectives on sexuality that I hope will help couples get their bearings if they are willing to seriously seek God's will for their sexual lives. And I do promise that God's will for your sexual lives is the most satisfying way of life. Number one, fantasy.
Number one, turn the fucking lights out. Number two, missionary only. Number three, nobody comes. Number four, make a baby. Number five, no sex after there's no chance of baby.
Fantasizing sin is sin. Playing out a situation or behavior in your mind because of its pleasure, which would be sinful, a sinful situation or sinful behavior if you did.
I have sinned against you. Where is Jimmy Swaggart going to figure in this anywhere? I mean, not. I have sinned against you. Arnold seems to Arnold's got a handle on the situation. Just hand out the lube and send them off to figure it out. They'll get there. God, these are such sick, hung-up motherfucker. Oh, my God.
Did it outwardly? Is sin in your mind? And if this is true for fantasies, then it is all the more true.
You know, just listening to this dude's voice. Hey, honey. I'm feeling a little frisky. You want to put on Pastor John so all the so the mood will pass?
That play-acting sin is sin. Pretending to do something which, if you did it when not pretending, is sin, that pretending is sin. I say this because of Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks upon a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart.
Oh, God, now we're back to the 1976 or 75, I don't know, Playboy interview with Jimmy Carter. Well, I've committed lust in my heart. Puritanism. How many of this country's problems can we trace back to godforsaken Calvinist Puritanism? I mean, really? How many ruined relationships? Now, I'm not going to go through all 11 minutes of this, but there are people who are listening live in an automobile right now, and his voice would make a freight train take a dirt road. But really? He's just... So many people have been so fucked up, countless generations, by people who have no idea, who have nothing to guide them except some Bronze Age fucking pronouncements, allegedly written on a rock. But this is who they are. This is damn sure who they are. Pastor John and the other guy, Steve says, I think Pastor John has a future at doing recorded readings of those sex stories in Playboy Hustler. It's a dear penthouse, I never thought this would happen to me. You know, reason number 7,582,912.6 for why you don't want to be a Christian. Oh, subject line, bondage. Matt in San Francisco writes, Folsom Street Fair was this weekend. These folks need to loosen up and explore their kink. There are literally hundreds of subsets of kink. Sounds like these pastors are into religious kink. It's a thing. Pastor John, are you going to put your nun's habit on again? Well, okay. Yeah. Thank you, Matt. Folsom Street Fair sounds kind of fun. Maybe someday. Who knows? Oh, these people. It just... And you know who... you know who... you know who they really hate? That's right. Yeah. America's enemies. Trouble is, when you go to define America's enemies, you get a different, you know, they don't think of enemy the way we think about enemy. Oh, based on Pastor John's logic, Arnold says, I'm already dead. No, Arnold, no, you're very much alive. Every time they have sexual intercourse, Robert in Australia writes, every time I hear crap like this, I flash back to Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. Every time they have sexual intercourse, they've got to have a baby. Well, we've had sex twice and we have two children. Yes, but I may use protection. I may go down to the chemists and say, give me one of those little latex thingies for my John Thomas. Oh, I remember the scene, too. I did. That's, yes, indeed. Nope, the enemies of America. It might come as a surprise. We're it. And I don't mean just the LGBTQIA plus community. I mean liberals, progressive, and anybody who is woke because they've absolutely, you know, stolen and repurposed the word, and it's kind of like, you know, neoliberal over on our side. Mario Murillo.
Somebody help me.
Help me.
It's coming. The judgment on those who would destroy America is coming. Shout. Shout.
And as always, what blows my mind in all this is when the camera pans out into the arena and you see people, I mean, they got everything but the Bic lighters going. And they're, you know, waving their arms in the air and they're cheering because the judgment is coming. There's nobody in that room that can withstand the judgment. There's somebody in there that puts on the wig and the stripper heels. We know it. Right? Who bought most of the copies of 50 Shades of Grey? Going back to Pastor John, Ron and Raleigh writes, do you think this asshole ever read the Song of Solomon or any of the other erotic portions of the Bible? They never preach from any of those stories in church. You can interpret anything you want from the Bible. These mother humpers don't know jack or shit. Oh, so true. I mean, Pastor John, I was just writing to ask you about whether it was okay when Lot's daughters got him drunk and humped him to get knocked up. How about, because the Bible says that Lot was a righteous man, Pastor John. You want to tell us about that, maybe? No? Okay, here's the idiots cheering for Mario Murillo.
Shout! America, God is looking at you right now. And I'm going to tell you, your atheism isn't going to stick. Your wokeism isn't going to stick. Your Satanism isn't going to stick. Your communism isn't going to stick, because there is a God who answers by fire.
You know, great big balls of fire aren't particularly discriminating. Kind of like tornadoes that hit Baptist churches and stuff. I mean, do you think when a Baptist church gets blown up by a tornado, does the preacher ever go, all right, which one of y'all kinky motherfuckers brought this on us? Mysterious or the what? No, of course not.
Well, I'm going to try it again and see what's happened. God is saying it's our turn now.
Of course, you got to vote for Donald Trump if you want your turn. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. God. And, by the way, speaking of Merca, the full hissy is on. I mentioned the other night that Lee Greenwood is crying great big crocodile tears because The Patriot has been removed from the National Council of the Arts. George W. Bush put him on there. Mm-hmm. Hasn't had a hit since 1984. You know, God bless the USA. He's being replaced by a theater director by the name of Camilla Forbes. Camilla Forbes, very likely, has more of an understanding of the arts than, you know, Lee Greenwood ever will. Let's see here. I'm trying to see here what... One of Joe Biden's new nominees for the National Council of the Arts is the Jimi Hendrix of the ukulele. Jake Shimabukuro. And he says, the world would be a better place if everyone played the ukulele. Might be right. I don't know. Camilla Forbes is the... Oh, okay, now I understand. Now I get it. Now he's being replaced by Camilla Forbes. And shh, don't tell anybody. Camilla Forbes is the executive producer of the Apollo Theater in Harlem. And she and producer Questlove are putting up a Broadway premiere. Oh, I want to see this. I hope it's based on the iconic TV program. On Broadway, Soul Train. Yes, really. Now the angst and anguish of Lee Greenwood becomes abundantly plain. He claims that being removed or not being reappointed to the National Council of the Arts is the Biden administration's cleaning house and getting rid of all conservatives in government. Yeah. And what's her name? Ashley Ainsley Earhart over at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda said, you know, what's interesting is when he was elected, he said he wanted to unite our country. Your song united us during 9/11 and has ever since. What's more unifying than that song? Well, the fact that it's used as a right-wing cudgel is not particularly unifying, but, you know... Let's see, Gary Bauer. Haven't heard that freak's name in a while. Greenwood has two targets on his back. Not only was he appointed by a Republican president, his anthem is pro-American and anti-globalist, and Joe Biden and his party are all in for globalism. Then there's Bishop Willard Romney's niece, Ronna Romney McDaniel. Lee Greenwood wrote, God bless the USA, now Biden wants him canceled too. So much for uniting the country.
I guess there's no room for a true American patriot in Joe Biden's world.
That from Perry Hooper, a former member of the state legislature of course, Alabama.
He's holding a dinner in Lee Greenwood's honor.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was appointed to his first six-year term in 2008 by... dim leader, and that's 2014. So that means he was actually reappointed by Barack Obama because it's a six-year term, and 8 and 6 is 14. I mean, it's me and ciphering, but I got that one. Jeremy says, fuck Joe Manchin, fuck Kyrsten Sinema, and fuck Lee Green Wormwood. How's Rush these days? Well, he's been clean and sober for a lot of months now. How about that? And so there are $3.37 remaining on Joey and Giraffe's deworm the maggots challenge. That was clever. I really thought it was. Thank you, Jeremy. I want, says Ron and Raleigh, I want one of these sons of bitches to define woke or wokeism. I'm so tired of this racial and cultural appropriation. I guess like CRT, wokeism means anything they want it to. I'm so tired of this shit. Precisely. It means everything they hate, everything they're scared of. I saw a shared meme from someone who just won their Herman Cain Award. They posted at some point in time, they had posted a meme that showed people in Klan hoods saying, if this is racist, then we need to be honest about everything else, too. You know, if this is racist, Klansmen. And showed a picture of Black Lives Matter and a building on fire. Oh, God. Why don't they just start their own movement and call it BPS, Black People Scary? But, you know, just remember, these are followers of the Prince of Peace. Yeah. And there's some dissension in the ranks, though. From time to time, we've talked about firefighter prophet Mark Taylor, still wearing his Trump 2020 hat. No kidding. But he is, he's mad at one of the other maniacs. I'm speaking, of course, about the multimillionaire Robert Jeffress, who is the head gospel sharp down at the First Baptist Church of Dallas. Southern Baptist, you know. And, well, Robert Jeffress apparently is a little bit smarter money-wise than a lot of his colleagues, because Robert Jeffress would like for his congregation, which makes him the multimillionaire he is, to not die. Robert Jeffress last week said, there is no credible religious argument against the vaccines. Ooh, ooh. Well, firefighter prophet Mark Taylor is not having none of that. No. Firefighter prophet Mark Taylor, he knows all about the vaccines. Right?
What is going on with the jabs right now? We've all done our research right now, okay? We've all done our research. We all know the chemicals, the different things that are in there that are designed to literally take life away from people. Your body and my body are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right?
What? What? The vaccines are designed to take life away from people? Did I hear that right? Did you hear that? No, dumbass, they're meant to keep people from dying!
...right now. We've all done our research right now, okay? We've all done our research. We all know the chemicals, the different things that are in there that are designed to literally take life away from people. Your body and my body are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? So let's flip over one more here, too. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, okay? So I'm going to read this real quick. It says, do you not know that your body...
Now, okay, for the time period, the Romans and the Greeks had some, and the Egyptians, had about as good an understanding of medicine as anyone in that era, okay? Not taking anything away. You know, people like Galen. But chemistry? Biochemistry? Molecular biology? Uh-uh. No. Those are all kind of pretty much 20th century things and forward. But firefighter prophet Mark Taylor knows that there are life-taking stuff, and he's going to quote from a religious book from the first century of the Common Era about science? Why, yes he is.
Body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body, right?
Right.
when you take the jab, you are not honoring God's temple.
Right.
You are corrupting it.
Correct.
What does it mean to defile Correct. The temple of God? It means to corrupt or pollute it. You are corrupting or polluting your body with chemicals, with toxins, with all these different things designed from the New World Order to literally...
The New World... Oh, he's trying so hard to work the Alex Jones side of the street. He is. Oh, isn't he special? Merciful God. You were bought at a price. In other words, he said it, your body's not your own. You were bought at a price. You are an enslaved person to a deity who built a temple inside your body. And the vaccine comes in, and it's like the Greeks in the 19th century who filled up the Parthenon with gunpowder because they thought that would be a great place to put their gunpowder. And then it blew up the temple, and that's why the Parthenon doesn't have a roof on it no more. It's kaboom! And, yeah. And again, it's not so much the stupidity of what this asshole says. It's that people actually pay attention to him. It's like all those thousands of people in that arena hooting and hollering and grunting and barking and yelling about how excited they are for God's big fireball. John in North Dakota says, Firefucker prophet, dude is coming in hot. He's pegging in the red. I was in radio too. Yes. Yes. And it's the recording. It's not me. I'm not overdriving. In fact, I'm just about maybe halfway up on the fader. You'd think that God could put a decent audio system in the temple there.
They kill off mankind to depopulation. So I don't know what. And there, look, even some pastors, okay,
depopulation.
Franklin Graham. I don't mind calling him out. I don't care. And there's been maybe a couple of others have said this, that if Jesus was here, that he would even take the jab. Chris, I'm sorry, brother. They don't serve the same Jesus I do. Because Jesus would never corrupt or pollute his temple. You know what my Jesus would do?
You know what'll corrupt your temple? Getting nails driven into your hands and your feet and a spear jammed into your side. That's pretty temple-corrupting stuff, that is.
My Jesus that I serve would rebuke that disease and turn around and heal it. He wouldn't use a vaccine to do it.
Come on.
What if the vaccine does the, but it prevents it so it won't need to be healed? And Chris there, that's Chris McDonald, his daddy died of COVID-19. He's like, yeah, come on, testify. Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. I don't know what Jesus these guys are serving, brother. But it's not the same one me and you, sir.
Come on, brother. No, I'm with you, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't care what people get mad at me all they want to. The fact of the matter is, they don't care. They are following Illuminati, Cabal, New World Order.
Freemasons!
Agenda is what they're doing.
Yeah, you're right. And so, you know, good question coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Does that mean if you have your appendix removed, you're corrupting God's temple? Let that sucker blow. Damn, these people are dangerous. Precisely the point, Ron. That's why we do this on Wednesdays. This isn't because... I mean, okay, some of them are funny, some of them are silly, some of them are stupid. Or like Monday, some of them are all rapey and shit. Kitty diddlers. But the weird thing about living in a country with a population the size of ours is that there are sure enough people out there, because you know they don't have right wing foundation grant money. This is a gospel sharp hustle, and they're but yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. Yes, Matt. As a matter of fact, it is. We've all done our research. Matt in San Francisco says, "Is that the new term for I googled it? I goggled it. Ask Dr. Google." My Jesus wouldn't, Lee in New York says, Jesus would not have to go to the liquor store, so you should not buy liquor. Well, you know, if you're a Southern Baptist, the deacons would ask Jesus to go to the liquor store for him. Remember, the Roman Catholics don't recognize the authority of the Greek Patriarch. The Protestants don't recognize the authority of the Pope. And Southern Baptist deacons don't recognize each other at the liquor store. It's always, yes. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's a prayer meeting Wednesday, and the plates are passing, and we got 3:37 to go on Joey and Giraffe's challenge, and $233 to go on the Freedom Through Unity challenge, courtesy of Larry in Liberalville. Please don't let that challenge go by the boards. Of course, one of the things that I was planning on focusing on yesterday. okay, Chris in Christopher in Oregon. Mario Murillo and his evil twin brother, Luigi Luciferian. Mario Murillo sounds like he spent too much time in Magic Mushroom Marjorie's fitness center. Great balls of fire! Is that a cowbell I heard in the crowd? Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Mm-hmm. No, I wanted to talk yesterday before the internet up and died. It up and died. Actually, it down and died. Was the testimony on Capitol Hill of General Mark Milley, who came in to defend his the description of his behavior once he realized that Nitwit Nero was, well, funny. You know, funny in the head. And, of course, there were great moments of barking and grunting and hooting by Republicans on the committee. Among them, of course, Representative Michael Turner of Ohio. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin was there with General Milley, too. And Representative Michael Turner, MAGOT, Ohio, wanted to do some lecturing. And he wanted to go, yeah, so instead of going after General Milley, it still makes me chuckle, General Milley. No, he decided to go after the black guy, you know, Defense Secretary Austin. Because nothing says maggot quite like an insane white guy screaming at a black dude.
General Milley, with indignation in front of the House and the Senate, you have commented on the statements in the press concerning your phone conversation with your counterpart, General Li, in China. Let's be clear, to give you some help with the indignation, those comments were in the press because that's where you put them. Now, you claim that you had information, and it's all over, that China was worried about an imminent attack. You did not tell the president, the vice president, the White House chief of staff, the national security advisor, the secretary of defense, the secretary of state, the director of national intelligence, either of the relevant committees in the House, including the Big Eight, which you know include Intel. You didn't tell the Intelligence Committee. You didn't tell the Armed Services Committee. You report that after you took upon yourself to have this phone conversation, that you told them of the conversation heard, not that China believed that we were going to imminently attack them, which, by the way, has never been true in my lifetime. And it may be true, since they believed it, that's why they're digging ICBM holes faster than they can fill them with ICBMs. But you chose instead to handle it yourself with a phone call. So, General Milley, you offered all of the concerning intelligence, and I'm going to request that you provide it to us. I would like you to provide us the relevant intelligence information that you based your belief that China was going to believe that there was an imminent attack. I also want your request for declassification of the approval that you released that information that China believed so, including your request for declassification of your conversation that you had with General Li and any approvals. I want a transcript of your call with General Li, and I also want any readouts, memorandums, notice of calls, or outcomes. Now, you chose to talk to reporters instead of us, and that's great. That's of great concern. No one in Congress knew that one of two of the major nuclear powers thought that they were perhaps being threatened for attack. Now, Mr. Secretary, that turns my questions to you then. Mr. Secretary, if you learn that Russia or China believes that they may be subject to an attack by the United States, as a member of the president's cabinet, do you believe that information should be handled at the cabinet level and with the president, with the National Security Advisor, the Secretary of Defense? Do you believe the chair and ranking member of Intel and the House Armed Services Committee and Foreign Affairs Committee need to know these? Or do you believe that a belief of the possibility of an attack by the United States against Russia and China is appropriately handled by the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff in a phone call with his counterpart with one of those nations? Please tell me that you believe it elevates to the level that you would elevate that to the cabinet and to Congress and not just have it be subsequently told to us all by newspaper articles in the Washington Post and the New York Times, as General Milley chose to do.
Thank you, sir. Obviously, we would want to follow standard protocol, and what you described is what I would the type of actions that I would consider taking. But General Milley, as what I heard him say yesterday, and I think again today, is that his chain of command, the Secretary of Defense at the time, was aware of the actions, and so
after what he said yesterday is after.
I'm sorry,
no, that's not correct. What I said yesterday, today.
If I could hold on just a second, everybody. Time has expired. Mr. Turner is very clever. He made a very direct attack as his time was expiring. I'm going to violate the rules here a little bit and let Chairman Milley respond to that direct attack, hopefully briefly, and then we'll move on to the next witness.
With respect to the intelligence, I have it right here. I'll be happy to share it with you.
Great.
I guarantee that that intelligence was disseminated to, in the president's PDB, the vice president, the DNI, director of CIA, the secretary of defense.
Ooh, this stings.
The assistant to the president for national security affairs, and others. That was significant, and there was a lot of it. It wasn't just a singular report. There was a lot. I'll be happy to share that with you and go over to you with you line by line. And it was significant. And it was concerning to the point where Secretary of Defense Esper, Admiral Davidson and myself, along with others, had conversations about it. And I was directed by then Secretary of Defense Esper. First, he directed his Assistant Secretary of Defense for Asia-Pacific Affairs to make calls, and then me. Same thing. This is all done with oversight, and I tried to lay that out in the memoranda. I tried to lay it out in a timeline in an unclassified way that you can use it as your constituents.
And we're going to, I'm sorry, we're going to have to leave it at that.
I'll be happy to take it up at a later date. Your convenience.
Mr.
Yeah. Suck it. Suck it, Representative Turner from Ohio. Oh, God.
That's kind of refreshing, though. Yeah. Wow. And it was, I mean, it was kind of like that every time a Republican. I don't know how he is for his battle strategy. But he's hell with Congress. And maybe that's what you're really good at when you get those four stars on your shoulder boards. Because Matt Gaetz tried it too. And even went so far as to give free publicity to Bob Woodward and Robert Costa by holding up the daggum, their book that all this stuff comes from. And you notice the difference in the temperament and the tenor between the Democratic chairman of the committee, who's like, well, okay, I'm going to bend the rules because General Milley gets to respond. Totally even keel. And the other the Republicans, all the maggots, all sound like, well, the barking maniacs that they are. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, thank you very kindly to our dear friend Christopher. Christopher, thank you so much. Subject line, thanks, Larry. And so now the Freedom from Unity Challenge is $215 away, $215 away from being met. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so kindly. Thank you. Oh, that's wonderful. It is. Thank you. And, Steve in New York, what General Milley really said, listen, you dick, if Orange Fuckwad and his minions had actually read anything, it wouldn't be a surprise. Drop and give me 50, maggot.
Ooh, wait, maggot. But, you know, Representative Michael Turner was positively sane compared to Matt It Gaetz Better. Yeah.
Fired, Mr. Chairman. Gaetz is recognized.
February 26, 2020, House Armed Services Committee, General Mark Milley. We know we're not going to defeat the Taliban militarily, and they're not going to defeat the government of Afghanistan militarily. You really blew that call, didn't you, General?
I believe that that was an issue of strategic stalemate, and that if we had remained in Afghanistan with the advisory levels of effort, then the government of Afghanistan...
Well, that's an interesting answer to a question. It's just not one I asked. You spent more time with Bob Woodward on this book than you spent analyzing the very likely prospect that the Afghanistan government was going to fall immediately to the Taliban, didn't you?
Not even close, Congressman.
Oh, really? Because you said right after Kabul fell that no one could have anticipated the immediate fall of the Ghani government. When did you become aware that Joe Biden tried to get Ghani to lie about the conditions in Afghanistan? He did that in July. Did you know that right away?
I'm not aware of what President Biden...
You're not aware of the phone call that Biden had with Ghani where he said, whether it is true or not, we want you to go out there and paint a rosy picture of what's going on in Afghanistan. You're the chief military advisor to the president. You said that the Taliban was not going to defeat the government of Afghanistan militarily, which, by the way, they cut through him like a hot knife through butter. And then the president tries to get Ghani to lie. When did you become aware of that attempt?
Well, there's two things there, Congressman, if I may. One is what I said was the situation was stalemate. And if we kept advisors with there, the government of Afghanistan and the army would have still been there. That's what I said. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But
it seems wrong now with
well,
the Taliban
we
control.
All the,
question
we
for Secretary
all the
Austin. Secretary Austin, are you capable of assessing whether another has the will to fight?
No, we're not. And
you see, here's the thing. Matt Gaetz is not very good at this, as if I needed to say more. But no, he's not. Because he asks open-ended questions. A smart interrogator in this situation would ask leading questions that have to be answered in a particular fashion. But by asking these open-ended questions and then interrupting when he doesn't get the answer he wants, it makes him look like a, wait, what's the word I'm looking for here? Dumbass!
That's the point that the chairman made earlier.
That's just like an incredibly disappointing thing for the Secretary of Defense to simply say, I can't assess whether someone has the will to fight. But it is consistent with your record. I mean, during the Obama administration, I think they gave you about $48 million to go train up some folks in Syria to go take on the Assad government. And I think your testimony was that only 4 or 5 survived first contact with the enemy. So what confidence should this committee have in you or should the country have in you when you've now confessed to us and whether it's the swing and a miss in Afghanistan that General Milley talked to the Senate about yesterday, total failure, or whether it was your failures in Syria, you don't seem capable to look at a fighting force and determine whether or not they have the will.
Well,
is that an embarrassing?
You recall, Congressman, that the end result was the SDF that we stood up that was very, very instrumental in turning the tide of battle up in Syria.
Oh, yeah. Turned it so much. You've got Assad in power in Syria. You've got the Taliban in power in Afghanistan. I mean, where have you been?
The focus was ISIS, Congressman. And we and those forces had significant effect on the ISIS network.
It just seems like you're chronically bad at this. And you have admitted that, I guess, which is to your credit. But, you know, when people in the military, like Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, stand up and demand accountability, when they say that you all screwed up, when they point out that General Milley's statement that that the government of Afghanistan is not going to get defeated by the Taliban, well, he ends up in the brig. And you all end up in front of us, and your former employer, Raytheon, ends up with a lot of money, and we have poured cash and blood and credibility into a god...
And yet the dumbass is making an argument for we should have kept pouring cash and blood into that stupid war that we should have been out of 17 years ago, or maybe, and this is the crazy part, never should have started in the first place. Because let's remember, we started it. We started it. I know, it's frustrating listening to this stuff. Ron and Raleigh's about fit to eat dirt and run rabbits. When the fuck did Dolt 45 start reading the presidential daily briefing? All these Republican shitheels can kiss my deeply tanned ass. Amen, amen. And continues, why is this jumped up little pedophile not in fucking jail? Lock him up. Lock him up. Yeah, Well, that's some privilege, that white privilege, Ron. You got to admit, you do.
Any government that was a mirage. It fell immediately. And while the guy sitting next to you was off, you know, talking to Phil Rucker and was off doing his thing with Bob Woodward, we were buying into the big lie. The big lie that this was ever going to be successful and that we could ever rely
on
the Afghanistan government for anything at all. You know, General Milley, you kind of gave up the game earlier when you said you wanted to address elements of your personal conduct that were in question. We're not questioning your personal conduct. We're questioning in your official capacity going and undermining the chain of command.
Well, you know, Matt, I'd like to question your personal conduct in paying an underage hooker for sex. Want to do that, Matt? Shall we go ahead and get down and go for a real good walla? What a monumental pissant. Really. I mean, it's there. He paid the hooker. The hooker was underage. Menace to society.
Man, which is obviously what you did. You've created this whole chain.
Did not undermine the chain
narrative.
Of command and
yeah,
manner,
you did.
Shape, or form.
You absolutely did. And it
did not.
Well, you know what? You said yes.
No. I'm sorry, General. You left out a necessary word there. It's did not, Peckerwood. Did not, Shitweasel. Did not, Pissant. I mean, that would be, I mean, he's close to retirement anyway. That's worth it, isn't it?
Yesterday, that you weren't going to resign when senators asked you this question. And I believe that you guys probably won't resign. You seem to be very happy failing up over there. But if we didn't have a president that was so addled,
this fucker would shit his pants and run for his life if he ever heard so much as a goddamn BB fired in anger. Failing up. I'm no fan of the brass. But that's more than an honorable servant of his country should really have to put up with. And you know, that old saying, them's fighting words. Them's fighting words. Son, you want to meet me outside? You want to take this outside?
You all would be fired. Because that is what you deserve. You have let down the people who wear the uniform in my district and all around this country, and you're far more interested in what your perception is and how people think about you in Insider Washington books than you care about winning,
gentleman's
which this
time
group
has
is incapable
expired.
Of doing.
Ms. Houlihan is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And gentlemen, I apologize for the behavior of my colleague. I'm deeply, deeply appreciative of your service and of the decades of experience that you all bring to this conversation. Thank you so much for the opportunity to ask important questions of you, questions that ought to be asked of you in the spirit of our responsibility of oversight rather than provocation. So I just have a couple of questions of clarification from this testimony that...
And that is Chrissy Houlihan, a Democrat from Pennsylvania. And you know, Matt Gaetz probably doesn't even have the stomach to go to. Don't you dare apologize for me. No. Jeremy in Vermont. Matt Gaetz. What the fuck about Matt's behavior and conduct he showed with Little Miss Three Names when they showed up outside the jail to protest the treatment of January 6th American terrorists? I've had enough. Matt needs the song. Yes, yes, John's song. And I can, that's probably a good call, right? Right. Oh.
I just need you to shut the fuck up, cause nobody asked you, bitch. I need you to shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Just shut the fuck up, bitch. Shut the fuck up, bitch. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. Bow, bow.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely yes. Let's see. We were down to, by the way, we were down to 218 to go on Larry and Liberalville's challenge. Then we are now, we took it down to 193. And from 193, we go down to 172, courtesy of Jessica in Minnesota. Thank you, Jessica. Jessica with a note. Such happy news to share with the Horn family congregation, Robin. A while ago, I submitted my paperwork with the State of Minnesota Bureau of Vital Statistics to have my birth certificate changed. As is the case with things bureaucratic, there is an inherent importance of hurrying up and waiting, and I was beginning to wonder if I should go to the county and check if anything had happened and I hadn't received my official notice yet, or if things were still processing. And then yesterday, my official voter registration card arrived, not in his name, but Jessica. And today, my lovely bride informed me that an important document had arrived in the mail. You guessed it. My new revised birth certificate with the word female listed for my gender. And the added happiness that my insurance pre-approved my facial feminization surgery, so my surgical date is set at the Mayo Clinic for November 15th. I'm riding such a wave of positivity, Robin. I'm going to celebrate by kicking in $21. The other day, I was visiting family, and someone was FaceTiming my younger brother, sister-in-law, and nieces, and they deadnamed me. And without skipping a beat, my very Republican sibling, in his dad voice, corrected them and said, Jessica. His favorite number is 21, so here's that in recognition of him. There's a sizable faction in my extended family that's now shunning me or indifferent to my transition, Robin, but it makes things easier when there are highly respected and influential family members like my brother who are willing to stand up and support their trans or other LGBTQIA+ kin. I only wish you had the same support with your family, Robin, as I wish our extended trans, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and other rainbow family could, as so many of us are disowned by our families. But we have our extended chosen family, and I'm happy to have you as a sister, Robin, and I'm so grateful to be part of this wonderful group of individuals known as the Horn. And to quote Reverend Schuller, quoting scripture, let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is, after all, prayer meeting Wednesday. Right! And I'm very fortunate, Jessica, in that, you know, the family problem I have is not right here under my roof. I'm so exquisitely happy to have the love and support of all my children and my beloved, and it means the world. It really, really does. Today was Get Bureaucratic Shit Done Day, and I will say it's an unpaid product placement, and I'm sure there's some reason to loathe them somewhere, but you loathe the company, not necessarily the people. And the young woman that I spoke to at my insurance carrier, Geico, I said, I need to change my gender marker. And she said, really? And I said, yes. I said, my driver's license now says female. And she said, congratulations. I am so happy for you. That is wonderful. She said, this is the best thing I've done all day. Let me pull up your policy. Yep. And I guess they've got instant access to, like, driver's license databases, and that's not at all creepy, but oh well. And she said, it's done, and there is a note here that anytime you call in, your pronouns are she and her. It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. So, I get, and congratulations on getting it scheduled. So, 6 days, at least in theory, 6 days after I have mine down there, you'll have yours up there. So I could not be happier for you, Jessica. That is just wonderful. Yeah, you're right. Steve in New York says, you know, after that lovely musical interlude, courtesy of John Britovo, I think we need to hear, in regard to Matt Gaetz, we need to hear from Professor Spicoli. And I could not agree more.
You dick!
Yes, absolutely. Right. Meanwhile, Jude in the Great Northwest says, I'd wager these House Republicans wear flag lapel pins while at the same time displaying such blatant disrespect for our high-level military leaders, an audible that renders one experiencing nails on a chalkboard is how it impacts me. I guess I could have just read the quote, but, you know, he rambled for a while, and I think there's a certain intellectual and emotional value to hear him being put in his place by someone who knows what the hell they're talking about. But yeah, him, Marjorie Traitor, Gangrene, Cue Ball, so many of them. It's just disgusting. That Geico rep deserves a cowbell. Yes, indeed. She was just lovely. Found a way to lower my premium a little bit, too. By the way, Ron and Raleigh adds, let's talk about Mike Pompeo's plan to kidnap Julian Assange and murder him. I know you're no fan of Julian, but I don't believe he deserves to be grabbed up, taken somewhere to be murdered. Pompeo's a Christian. What about thou shalt not kill? Thou shalt not whatever is strictly interpretive and kind of fluid. It's sort of a cafeteria commandment. And while I... No, you're absolutely right. I'm no fan of Julian Assange because Julian Assange has said he is a libertarian and would probably be a Republican if he was an American, which makes that business with Mike Pompeo even more interesting. But no, I don't believe in snatching people up in the dark and still of the night and going and making them all dead. Not at all. And look, Mike Pompeo is a thug. Graduated first in his class at West Point. Oh God, that just kills me. It does. It just kills me. Yeah. Oh, that's a real laugh riot. Yeah. But, by the way, I have filibustered an hour and 41 minutes into the program. This is Conversation Radio, however, and if you've got something you'd like to say or get off your chest or any other portion of your being, spirit, soul, mind, whatever, feel free to jump in. Stress line number, because there are new listeners now and then. Everybody doesn't necessarily know how to get into the program. The stress line works just fine, as we will now prove by checking in with Dave in the Blind. Hey, Dave, how are you?
Well, I'm doing fine, Robin. I'm doing really good.
I'm glad.
Real quick, why did I have to follow Matt Gaetz?
Well, you're a palate cleanser, Dave. That's why.
Okay. Well, if this is any help to any of you, if he's convicted of what he's shown to have done, he will not be able to go to the White House, nor will he be able to go to the U.S. Capitol, because they're all part of the National Park Service. And he would have to stay 1,000 feet away from any park. So D.C. will be a real minefield for him. Yes.
You really think that'll stick?
So,
I mean, if he's convicted, which I hope.
I think it will. I think the parliamentarian in the Congress will have to look over at Speaker Nancy Pelosi and say, because of the conviction, you need to vote to remove him from the House, to expel him, if he will not resign. Yes. Because at that point, he has shown that he does not have the ability to legislate because of morality problems that have been demonstrated. This isn't like always a drunk. No. No, this is where he's committed a crime against a young woman, and it would stick. I don't know if there would be an exception because he's a member of Congress. That's why I think the Congress would have to expel him. And I would love to see how many of his Republican colleagues would vote to retain him.
I think the number, well, probably wouldn't surprise you or me or the Horn Family Community Congregation, Dave, but I think that number would be sizable. Congressional terms are only 2 years, and it will take longer than that to convict him at trial because you know he is not going to enter no guilty plea.
Oh, no, he's going to go not guilty, and he's going to raise money on it, campaign funds, and the real trick of this, Robin, is if he's raising campaign funds for his reelection, he retains control of those funds if he is removed from Congress.
I think that's true, but he can't just, like, use it to buy commissary snacks in the stir.
No, but he can use it to influence elections, or God forbid they overturn his conviction and then he runs again.
And you know what? That would probably be the argument. Well, we can't throw him out because, like, he's still got appeal rights and it might get thrown out of court. It might have to go all the way to the Supreme Court to get thrown out, but it might get thrown out.
Yeah, that's bullshit. But what I have actually called to ask is, since you are the high priestess of the goddess of irony, it's a theological question. If I'm wearing a mask during my immolation of the rubber chickens, does the goddess of irony still see my face?
Well, see, that's, she knows all, sees all, tells nothing. It's all about the punchline with her, Dave.
Well, in that case, big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky can do all, see all, and knows all, then why can't he see your face when you're wearing a face mask?
Well, because, I mean, there's all powerful, but then there's masks. Just like he can't...
I see.
Yeah, he can't see, he can't see a Klansman behind his mask. Or a member of the Klan Ladies Auxiliary.
Okay, well... when I was doing my research into D.C. Stevenson, I ran across the Ku Klux Klan Ladies Auxiliary, or the Women's Auxiliary, from my hometown. It was a sad day during my research, but yeah. These idiots, my brother was yelling at me when in our last text exchange, well, you need to do your research, blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what, I should have cut him off 20 years ago. The way he acts.
Ugh.
I mean...
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It's kind of like what Jessica was writing about. I'm so sorry.
But and congratulations, Jessica. I'm happy for you. I really am happy for you and Robin both. But Bob has gone and he's gone further than my dad has. I posted on Facebook that they were not to call me. They were not to text me. They were not to write me, and they were not to come to my home. And he decided to text me, and I unfortunately engaged him. But I did call my sister and told her, I don't want to even see that little son of a bitch ever again.
Oh, Dave, I'm so sorry.
And Robin, it's his own choice. I mean... all I asked him to do was get vaccinated, and then I would come to family functions. But I will not be in a family function where there are people who are not vaccinated who can be vaccinated. I mean, I've got my niece's little boy. He's 2 years old. He can't get vaccinated yet. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about his 2-year-old grandfather.
Mm. Well played.
So, thank you. No cowbell necessary.
Well, you get one anyway, just for not asking.
All right. But I think that, you know, and I was listening to Randy Rhodes earlier. People are now telling their families the same thing I just told mine. You know, if you're not vaccinated, I'm not going to be around you. And I think that's what we have to do. You know, we're not taking away their right not to get vaccinated. I'm not talking about people like Dan Fisher who, because of the medications they're on, it's no use to do. I mean, that's not... Dan takes his own health so seriously. I could probably take notes and go, well, yeah, that's a good idea. So I'm not worried about somebody like Dan Fisher. I'm just saying that if you're going to get vaccinated, fine. If you're not, stay the hell away from me. I don't know how to break it down any simpler than that, except to say that if my brother confronts me, I'm going to have to bring out the atheist exorcist again, slap him upside the head and tell him the power of reason compels him. You know.
Yeah, no, but the power of reason compels you. That's cute. That's cowbell.
Well, you know, it's hard to find a school for atheist exorcists. It really is.
Probably in fairly short supply, I'd guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we're a pretty rare bunch. As a matter of fact, I think I'm the only one that I know of.
Kind of like Tigger and Winnie the Pooh? And I'm the only one.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm the only one, although I am not going to bounce on my butt. Sorry.
Well, your bottom is not made out of springs.
No, and usually when it's sitting in the wheelchair, and by the way, that tune that John Bertivo is giving you, that's danceable.
Oh, yeah.
I chair
dance every time I play it.
Yeah, me too. And you know, you can tell John, well, you've helped Dave and the Blind get more exercise. Well, I'm just going to have to start looping that when I deal with my family. You know. But, Christine update. She is learning to type. And she is... she's doing really well. She wanted me to tell everybody hi. She is going to be coming back on the 9th, I believe. The 8th or the 9th of October. And since I've had this discussion with Christine about vaccinations and my brother, she's going to be checking with her doctor about what's safe for her. And she's going to be checking with her lawyers to make sure everything is on track. So that's good news on that end. I told her I wasn't talking about her because she got her first shot. She went out and got it, did the right thing. For those people who can, and it's possible because of their health, they can or they need to because they've got comorbidities, do it. I'm not telling you what to do because you've got free will. But I'm saying it because I don't want you to die. And if I'm wrong about that, then I'll not attend the funeral either. I mean, we're just, as loving human beings, we're going to have to look over at them and go, no. I mean, you do it with a child when they're little and they want to touch a hot stove. You tell the kid it's hot, don't touch it. First thing the kid does, put the hand on the hot stove.
And never does it again.
Never does it again.
At least not on purpose.
No, no. I mean, I've been there when my uncle told his little boy, who was about a year old, don't touch that, that's hot. He did. He burned his hand, and my uncle took him up and then put cold water on it and made sure it was not blistering or anything. And said, see, I told you not to touch it. And as far as I know, my cousin never did on purpose. So, you know, human beings can learn unless they're conservatives.
Well, you know, there's that big primate brain, and what happens is, you know, in conservatives and maggots and the like, the big primate brain is overwhelmed by the little tiny lizard brain.
Well, that's true. And as we know, the lizard brain is more reactive. So, yeah. Maybe that's why I keep seeing Mitch McConnell sticking his tongue out every time he talks. But grammatically, if I were speaking in German, I would be calling him Führer McConnell.
I think I think you're correct.
Because the word actually means leader. So, yeah. That's why I said Republicans are probably already calling him that. They probably enjoy Donnie's speeches in the original Italian, you know, with the chin jut and the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, by the way, there's been some movement in another Trump lawsuit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah, you'll enjoy it.
Oh, please tell me a judge bounced it out on his ass.
No. It's somebody suing him, and the judge refused to bounce it.
Okay. Is this a federal or a state thing?
Federal.
Oh.
Eddie Grant. Remember 1983 Electric Avenue?
Yeah.
We got to rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take you higher. Remember that?
Right. Don't tell me this is a copyright suit. He's defending his copyright?
Yeah, he's being sued. He's sued for copyright infringement, DMCA, that kind of stuff.
Right.
For an online ad in his 2020 campaign that used that song behind some animation showing Joe Biden driving an old-fashioned train. And his really bad pettifoggers, nitwit Neros, went into court and said, the purpose of the animation is not to disseminate in the song or to supplant sales of the original song. Here, a reasonable observer would perceive that the animation uses the song for a comedic political purpose, a different and transformed purpose from that of the original song. Yeah, no. No, U.S. District Court Judge John Koltel, see, he just wanted to use it and not pay for it. And the district judge, John Koltel, said, wholesale copying of music to accompany a political campaign ad. That's what that was.
Using a 20-second snippet.
Yeah, Nitwit Nero's argument misapprehends the focus of the transformative use inquiry. While it is true that the animation is partisan political commentary and the song apparently is not, the inquiry does not focus exclusively on the character of the animation. Rather, it focuses on the character of the animation's use of Grant's song. And So, I mean, sometimes the response to something like a 12B6 motion to dismiss gives you an idea of which way the judge is going. But you know how it is with former president shit for brains. I never settle. I always win. Always. And then he settles.
Of course, because he's never won a lawsuit in his life.
it's ridiculous, yeah. Because now we find out in the waning days of the madness of his presidency, he had a guy. There was this guy, some White House staffer, who was known to other staffers as the music man. I shit you not, Dave. This guy's job, when COVID Caligula was going on a nutter, was to go in the Oval Office or the residence or where the hell ever. And I don't wish I was lying. I'm glad this is true. Play him show tunes. One singular sensation.
As often as the right wing makes fun of people who like show tunes.
Oh, the shark bites with his teeth, dear, and he keeps them pearly white. Yeah, show tunes. Everything's coming up roses for you.
So are they rewriting the Broadway hit Hello Dolly to be Hello Donnie? I don't know.
That's just gross.
Because now
I have to imagine him in the sequined gown, and then I'll get back, and then it'll turn back into me being mistaken for Donald Trump by Facebook's algorithms again. God damn it, Dave!
Exactly. Sorry about that. I'll send you a case of brain bleach.
Yeah, please. And you know, next time you go up for a therapeutic crucifixion, use the doll nail, will you?
Oh, thanks. Thanks a whole lot, Robin. I got sore wrists the way it is from the last time you asked for that.
Yeah, it's a little slow healing there. Yeah.
Especially when you're a diabetic. I mean, come on.
I can imagine. Yeah, because that does make healing more difficult.
In other words, I should watch my mouth. I should just curb my enthusiasm to entertain and enlighten the horn.
Well, you know, just to be a little more judicious. I'm so glad about the news for Christine.
I'm excited for her. She's already planning on having an electrician go through her trailer to make sure all the electronics they're sending home with her are going to be safe. So,
well, I hope they put all her new electronics and everything. I hope they get put behind uninterruptible power supplies.
You know, I'll talk to her about that. I'm sure they can get small ones that aren't, you know, household size, that keep like your computer on or your phones and things on like that. Yeah, I'll talk to her about it. But those Generac generators are like $7,000 or $8,000, and she would have to get approval from the trailer court to put one in. The Army Corps of Engineers. Anytime you say the government, you hear some right wing douchebag say the government doesn't work, I've got a little tale for you about the Army Corps of Engineers that
yes.
will warm your heart.
Yes.
When Christine had her ramp built, it's an aluminum ramp. The Army Corps of Engineers are the ones that put it in. They came to her trailer. They put it in. So she'd already gotten approval from the trailer court, and if anybody complains about it being shoddy, she's going to look over at them and go, well, the Army Corps of Engineers is who you need to talk to. So I didn't know they did that for disabled veterans, but they do.
That's beautiful. And, I had no idea.
For her. I didn't either until this. Oh, and Christine told me something about Harriet Tubman. Harriet Tubman was low vision. She had received an injury on a plantation when she was a young woman. It caused her low vision. It also caused narcolepsy. And just in the name of American badassery, this woman should be at the top of the list because she is also the first woman to lead U.S. soldiers in a combat assault. She led 150 U.S. colored troops in a raid against a plantation that was supplying the Confederacy. And she was the first woman in U.S. history to do that. And there was a whole bunch of other things. She had some herbal cures for various things that were affecting the soldiers. She worked as a scout for the Union Army, and it took forever for her to get her pension. And it was only with former War Secretary Stanton's intervention that she got it. And she lived to about the age of 91.
Yeah, she lived to a ripe old age, yeah.
She died in 1913. And,
yeah, can we please just get her on the daggum $20 bill already?
Yeah, I was wondering when that was going to happen. Well, Mnuchin said there were going to be no new designs until 2026. And the only reason that delay occurred was because in the Obama administration, the change to a Tubman 20 was already approved. And so when it does happen, I'm framing my first one just in her honor. I think that that we all should take some time out to honor her because that woman was a badass. She also freed she freed more than 3,000 people from slavery. 3,000. There's some towns that don't have that many people.
Oh, yeah.
You know. So, and I've seen documentaries where she had a hymnal and a Bible, but she couldn't read either one. She was illiterate her entire life. But she would carry them. And she was a very religious woman, a very spiritual lady. And she believed that her dreams during the narcoleptic fits were messages from God.
Well, for that time, yeah.
But that was normal for that time. But she also would look over at people that she was bringing out and say, well, if you're going to turn back, I'm going to shoot you. And she carried a pistol with her during that whole time. I've seen some documentaries on Amazon Prime about her. Some of those were amazing. I mean, I just could not believe it. And I didn't know all of this, and I thought I consider myself a student of history. And Christine told me that. I looked it up. Sure enough, and there was a whole lot more there, like I just told you. Also, here in a few days, the anniversary of the fire where I was burned out is going to happen on the 2nd. The anniversary of Tom Petty's death. If I recall correctly, that was the same day. But
sounds right.
The there is going there when that occurs. I will be celebrating because I'm not burning this year. So I'll get off of here so somebody else can talk. Robin, I'll talk to you later.
All right, Dave, you have a wonderful evening, and please give Christina our fondest best hopes and wishes.
I will. Thank you.
You have a good evening, Dave. Take care. Say hi to the boys down at the shop.
Oh, I will. You know, they tune into the program regularly, so there will be cheers from the shop floor, I'm sure.
Excellent.
After all, you're their favorite person, so.
Yeah. Sweet. Glad to be somebody's.
I'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care, Dave. Bye now. Our buddy Dave calling from the line somewhere in Taliban, Indiana. And if you want to be involved in the conversation, jump right in. Skype is, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn. And the stress line is named for the gone but not forgotten, irrepressible, inimitable Bill Mr. Stress Miller. It is 844-843-4676, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And like I said, we've got $172 to go to finish off the challenge. Larry and Liberalville's Freedom Through Unity Challenge, $3.37 to go to finish off Joey and Giraffe's Deworm the Maggots Challenge. And all of that will get us within striking distance of finishing the month. Okay. So thank you. Thank you for everyone who responds and continues to respond. If you want to help and you don't know how, it's over at headon.live.com. The headon.live, the interface is right there on the landing page. Yeah. So that just, you know, whatever you want to talk. But that having been said, let's see, where do we want to go now? Because there's a bunch of different places. Okay, maybe it's a little bit mean-spirited of me, but I am not shedding tears right now over news coming from United Airlines. I think people who need to fly can feel at least a little bit better about flying United, because United Airlines announced today that they're going to fire, shit can, dump some 593 United employees who refused to get their vaccine. That announcement came out yesterday. 593 workers are getting refused to get vaccinated. 2,000 more United workers, and I think they've got something like 55,000 employees. 2,000 more employees said they want a medical or religious exemption to the vaccine. It's 67,000 people in the United workforce, and about 3% of them. They said overall they're pleased. United is pleased with the level of cooperation and team spirit. More than 99% of the remaining U.S. staff complied with the requirement. There's a court case pending on the religious exemption horse shit. The memo from corporate said this is a historic achievement for our airline and our employees, as well as for the customers and communities we serve. Our rationale for requiring the vaccine for all United U.S.-based employees was simple: to keep our people safe. And the truth is this: everyone is safer when everyone is vaccinated, and vaccine requirements work. Yeah, they really, really do. I mean, there's a... Dave, in the blind, you got a note from Jude in the Great Northwest. I've discovered that the Horn community, from my perspective, is a particular aspect of the Church of Life. Each and every day, it's formed by how vastly different we are, yet in the midst one discovers authentic beauty, necessarily raw at times, a combination of people seeking a path less traveled by our diverse humanness. So, unable to find a church? Well, wander on by. And when Jessica sent her note, Jude said, I literally felt your written thoughts on a deep heart level, Jessica. Indeed, rejoice in the goodness. Be well. And yeah, Jude says, you got to play the audio of these traitors so that we will know what traitors they really and truly are. I thought that was just a lovely, lovely sentiment. And you know what? You don't get a shot, you don't get a job. That's not a problem to me. Nobody's dying from getting vaccinated. They're dying from not being vaccinated. I don't know why this is so damn difficult. Ugh. Now, you know what? We haven't heard from Reggie in Decatur for a while. Let's check in with Reggie. Hey, Reggie, how are you?
How you doing, Robin? Happy hump day to you. This is Reggie from Decatur, Georgia, talking at you yet once again. And I would just like to know, how long do we have to, or must we have to endure, put up with, or tolerate these goddamn motherfucking U.S. government shutdowns, man? And whoever enacted that law, she has his or her head examined.
I think there needs to be legislation, Reggie, that makes this go away. It doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be part of the political landscape. We pay our damn bills. Yeah, they thought they had it nailed down when they put constitutional language in about not questioning the validity of the debt, but apparently not.
Right, but this law was enacted what 30 years ago. Right, Robin?
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the Constitutional Amendment post-Civil War. That's, you know, 156 years ago?
Yeah, but, I mean, because they're playing political games with this. They're playing political party games with this. And people are going to suffer because of it.
People are going to be hurt.
And I don't know how long that's going to take. If it ever does shut down, it could take months or, well, years. I'm just saying, Robin. How about you? What say you?
The bottom line is we have this problem because we have people in this country who vote for that problem, Reggie. It's really that simple.
Right.
If Kentuckians would stop sending Mitch McConnell to the Senate, well, some other Republican would have to do it. So it's about people finally figuring out that Republicans are sadists who like to hurt people.
Yes, that's true. And we're the only ones that are opposing them, or the Democratic Party is trying to oppose them. I just hope they get this shit figured out by tomorrow, before Friday. You know, that's when the government shuts down, correct? I mean, how are people going to pay their bills and make another living? What about their livelihood? You know, their bread and butter, if you will, Robin. What about them?
They don't, I mean, Republicans don't care. I mean, and there's no real accountability for them. I got a story right here.
Yeah.
You talk about accountability.
Yeah.
I got to get to it here just a second.
Okay.
Rand Paul,
yep.
Another Kentucky senator,
mm-hmm.
has had 50 complaints filed with the Medical Oversight Board in the state of Kentucky.
50? You don't say, Robin.
Yeah.
You don't say,
more than
Robin.
50,
don't
more
say.
Than 50 complaints have gone to the Kentucky Board of Medical Licensure.
With
people complaining that he is violating his professional responsibility as a doctor by spreading anti-vax bullshit. Now, other doctors in other parts of the country have been disciplined for this kind of behavior.
Right, including Dr. Fauci himself.
I don't know. I'm not
sure.
I haven't heard from him lately.
Have you?
Well, I mean, he's around. He's around. But one complaint about Rand Paul and that thing on his head. It says he's endangering the health, the well-being, and lives of the American people. This is malpractice on a grand scale. But with 50 complaints in hand, the Kentucky Medical Licensure Board still has not lifted a finger.
Right. And you heard what happened on The View this past week. Although it turned out to be a false report that Anna Navarro and Sonny Hansen had were tested positive for COVID when they already been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, and it came out negative. Somebody leaked it. You know, I guess the producers behind the show leaked it. So let it slip out.
Well, they had to be pulled off set because Kamala Harris was coming for an in-person interview. And they got look, false positives are possible with COVID testing regimes. It's just a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't. You know, there was nothing nefarious about it. But then they were retested and they were negative and okay.
Right, and you had Donnie Boy Jr. You know, old Donnie Boy, the Piper was calling him. You know, a parody of Danny Boy, but Donnie Boy Jr. was talking about Anna Navarro's weight and obesity being related to COVID-19, and she clapped right back at him. She makes fun of herself every day, so it's nothing new to her. So for him to come in after her like that, his father's like, I don't know, 1,000 pounds, you know, nitwit nearer, the only keto.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah, I got
so he clapped right back.
I got some crap earlier Brendan wrote in and said, Jesus H. Christ, Robin, did you have to create that mental image of that fecal orange discharge in a sequined gown? Yeah, it didn't do me any good either, so I get that.
Yeah, but we can make fun of this guy because he was held for 4 years in the White House. Well, he was held for 4 years in the White House. But speaking of the White House, I just hope that they get their shit together before Friday, Robin, don't you? The Congress, you know, if this happens, man, how many government shutdowns have we been through so far, Robin, in this decade or the last century?
I don't have an accurate count, but, you know, you've got the one that comes immediately to mind is the one that Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, spearheaded.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you can't let this happen. I mean, we're not superheroes or anything, but we, the American people, along with the Democratic Party, can't let this happen anymore. Or go out or get out of hand or go out any further, man. Man, you can't let this happen again or anymore. And you said earlier that we should have some sort of law concerning the Constitution when it comes to U.S. government shutdown such as this. What exactly would that law be for you, Rob?
Eesh.
If I may ask you that question.
Well, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really know how to respond.
But we got to do something, man. We got to do something. As you know, parks will be closed. The FDA inspectors, the USDA inspectors can't inspect our food. Will the CDC be affected, Robin?
Every aspect of government.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Including the IRS?
I mean, there are some people who still have to come into work.
But they won't be paid.
And they don't, but they don't get paid, and then they get back paid, and it costs the federal government a fortune to do this.
Yeah.
And so the idea that there are fiscal conservatives who are going to cause this, yeah, no, they don't ever get to say they're fiscal conservatives ever again.
Why you say that, Robin?
because fiscal conservatives do not intentionally cost the government extra money that would not have to otherwise be spent.
Yeah. And what won't they raise the debt ceiling? What is it hurting or costing them, Robin? Why won't they do it?
Well, because it's all just politics, Reggie. That's all it is.
Yeah.
There are no principled arguments behind this. They're just being dicks.
Right. And the chief biggest dick is Mitch McConnell. You know, the turtle McTurtle, as you call him. You know?
Yeah.
And he stopped Schumer's latest attempt to raise the debt ceiling. I read it off the internet earlier. Over an hour ago. He stopped Schumer's latest attempt to raise the debt ceiling. Yeah. That is scrambling, Robin. That is scrambling. I hope they scramble quickly, because if they don't, we're screwed. Right, Robin?
Anything to shut down, and McConnell said it out loud.
We're not going to let them keep on driving socialism down our throats.
In other words, they want to cripple the Biden administration by making sure it has no money.
Oh, good grief. Right.
So, like, for instance, here where I live is a national park now. The national park will close. The local economy will take it on the chin, smack dab in the middle of one of the most profitable times of year.
Yeah.
Because it's not blazingly hot and it's not freezing cold, and this is a perfect time to go down the river, rock climb, that kind of thing. Beautiful days.
Yeah. But if the government shutdown happens, you guys won't be able to do that, will you? You guys won't be able to do that because the park will be closed, the rangers will be at home.
So yeah,
you know.
and that'll happen in that'll happen in the Smokies, that'll happen at Mammoth Cave, it'll happen at Yellowstone, it'll happen every national park in the country.
Yeah, true.
And D.C., you know, all the monuments, all the museums, the Smithsonian, the Lincoln Memorial, all gone.
I just hope if this all backfires on the Republican Party and comes and bites them right back on the ass, on all their asses big time. What say you, Robin? Or am I wrong or crazy for saying that?
Yeah, well, They are who they are, Reggie. They just are who they are.
Yeah. And if they don't raise the debt ceiling by December, you know what's going to happen with that one, right? If they don't raise the debt ceiling by December of this year.
Yeah, the shit hits the fan.
Yeah. We're all going to be fucked. And screwed big time, man. How can a government or human government survive without funds?
Can't be done.
I can survive without fun. You can't do it.
No.
They can't do it.
Reggie, you have yourself a great evening. It's good talking to you. It's been a while.
It's been a while too, Robin. I just had to get this off my chest, man. I don't know if anybody else talked about this or brought this up to you yet or before I have. But they're playing partisan politics with people's lives, man. People's livelihood.
Yeah, but Republicans do not care about that shit.
Yeah.
They don't care if they hurt people. Because they know that even if they hurt people, the people in the maggot states will continue to vote Republican because they just won't do otherwise. Because the Republicans, among other things, validate their racism and their bigotry and their homophobia and their xenophobia. And their transphobias and all of their phobias. Republicans just validate all that evil shit.
Right. But what if it happens to them? Don't they know that this government shit that shutdown could affect them and their families and friends as well? Don't they care? Or do they? You know?
Yeah. I know.
Don't they care or do they? Yeah. Remember, if the Congress was fully Democratic, this would never, ever happen. Right, Robin?
Well, the Democrats are actually the fiscally responsible party. You don't get to claim that you're fiscally responsible when you pass a $1.2 trillion tax cut for billionaires who don't need it. Reggie, you take care of yourself, and you have a good evening, and we'll talk soon. You hear?
All right, Robin. Keep warm or cool down there, man.
Yeah, it's a little toasty here in the studio here right now, but I'll get through.
Yeah, well, it's fall, you know.
It is that.
It's fall. Yeah. It's going to be time to go out there and rake the good old park.
I think we got a few mows left in us. Reggie, we'll talk to you later.
Right.
Bye now.
All right, Robin. Bye.
Our buddy Reggie from Decatur, Georgia, that is. See how easy it is? Jump in if you'd like. And again, $172 to finish the challenge and get us within striking distance of finishing the month, okay? Thank you. This is funny. This just came in via David in South Carolina, Stan, from Noel Kazler Comedy. Christy Nome is like Donald Trump, but with less makeup and smaller breasts. Ouch. Yeah. Brutal. So, by the way, speaking of losing in court, via the Law and Crime blog, the American Arbitration Association this month held that the non-disclosure agreement he forced Omarosa Manigault to sign, it's unenforceable. Oops. Yeah. They tried to shut her up on the stupid NDA, and that probably means most of the NDAs are invalid. The American Arbitration Association ruling said, given the general nature of many of these statements, it is hard to see how respondent could have known that they would be considered confidential information under the terms of the agreement. The statements do not disclose hard data, such as internal polling results or donor financial information. Rather, they are, for the most part, simply expressions of unflattering opinions. This is exactly the kind of indefiniteness which New York courts do not allow to form the terms of a binding contract. So Omarosa's lawyer is John M. Phillips of Florida, and he said, people who signed these NDAs should sleep better and speak more freely. Kudos to Omarosa Manigault Newman for coming forward and taking this on. And that may be exactly what's happening. Stephanie Grisham's book is full of juicy, salacious gossip, and it's all, you know, it's all closing the barn door after the barn's burnt down and the horses are gone, but still. Oh, let's see. Some other tidbits. It turns out that Josh Hawley, you know, the guy who raised his fist in the air and motioned to the maggots to invade the Capitol. Yeah, it's not great for him in the book Peril. The editorial board at the Kansas City Star dropped a rock on him in an editorial. They said, you know who never caved to reality or ever tried to protect the Republic instead of his Republican self? Missouri Senator Josh Hawley. That's who. Yep, we knew that, but Peril reminds any who might have forgotten that in putting his ambition ahead of all else, Hawley was a standout both before and during the attempted coup. And then from the book itself, this text, the risk became real when Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, a Yale Law-educated freshman and former Supreme Court clerk for Chief Justice John Roberts, announced on December 30th that he would object to the Electoral College certification on January 6th, becoming the first senator to do so. Hawley played a big role in the big lie, and since so many Missourians love him for it, he may be the rare national Republican who hopes his constituents will read this book and see how willing he was to distinguish himself. Yeah. Disgusting. Oh, and in our ongoing sort of occasional series of commit an insurrection. Well, the first military veteran to be sentenced in the attack on the Capitol and the attack on constitutional governance in the United States of America has now been sentenced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, federal court today, Derek Jancart. Yeah. He was part of the assault on constitutional governance,
right?
And for the first time, federal prosecutors asked for jail time, damn it, for a misdemeanor, because he pled guilty to a misdemeanor. Apparently, attacking the Capitol of the United States is a misdemeanor. They asked the federal judge to give him 4 months in jail. And they said that his offense was made worse by the fact that he was a military veteran and damn well should have known better. Jancart's pettifogger, on the other hand, argued to Judge James E. Boasberg that he should get 24 months probation. And Marcy Wheeler reported Eduardo Balarezo, his pettifogger, said that just because Jancart videoed something he didn't align with it and actually had the nerve standing up in open court to compare Jancart with the woman who videoed the murder of George Floyd. The judge said, yeah, no, I don't think so, because it's not like he videoed himself objecting to it. But Jancart spoke to the court and said, I'm caught up in the moment. I do apologize for my individual actions. I wish I'd shown better behaviors and stayed away from the building. I love this country. I feel ashamed for my actions that day. And Judge Boasberg kind of upbraided him for trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power. Judge Boasberg said that peaceful transfer of power is one of the bedrock acts of our government. He continued and said, what's concerning to me is you did bring gas masks and two-way radios, not just to attend the rally. You yourself bragged you were one of the first 50 to 100 in the building. You went all the way to the speaker's conference room. You did post you wanted politicians to know people could get this far whenever they wanted. And remember, they let him plead guilty to a misdemeanor. He brought handcuffs because he intended to restrain people. People who would probably then be subsequently killed, assassinated. On the spot. And then Judge Boasberg, having sternly admonished the defendant, gave him 45 days in jail. That's it. Three hots and a cot, 45 days. Not even the 4 months that the prosecutors had asked for. 4 months. Lock them up for 45 days. And then the judge had the nerve to say, I know that may not sound like not a terribly great amount, but I know, as anyone knows, that even a single day in jail isn't pleasant. Oh, well. He meant well, right?
He's trying to save democracy. Trying to save freedom. Yeah. Wolverines!
45 days. Maybe the judge could order the Federal Bureau of Prisons to take him to Burger King. Yeah, maybe, you think? Sickening. Just sickening. But then there's U.S. District Judge Emmett Sullivan yesterday. He was holding a hearing for a defendant who, well, threatened to murder Speaker Pelosi. Maggot rioter Dawn Bancroft focused on a statement that she made. Dawn Bancroft having said, "We got into the Capitol to find Pelosi and shoot her in the friggin' brain." Naturally, Ms. Bancroft said, "Well, I made that joke in a jovial manner. Yeah, I mean, it was a dumb thing to say, but I was joking. Shoot her in the friggin' brain, because, you know, that's ain't her fault. It's the judge's. It's Judge Sullivan's fault, because Judge Sullivan don't understand how it is, what it's like when the maggots is being funny and saying funny things to each other, like, let's go shoot the Speaker of the House in the friggin' brain." But as opposed to Judge Boasberg, Judge Sullivan said, these people morphed into terrorists. And in case you're keeping score at home, the woman who said she wanted to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the friggin' brain was allowed by federal prosecutors to plead guilty to a low-level misdemeanor somewhere down there with stream littering. Hell, stream littering might get you more. And she won't be sentenced till next year. So she can have time to maybe think about the consequences of her actions. God, I hope, oh my God, she may see the news from today and think, what if I get 45 days for attacking the Capitol and constitutional governance and talking about wanting to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the friggin' brain? Oh, that was so jovial when I said that. They just don't understand. Y'all, they're going to do it again because there ain't no consequences for doing it the first fucking time. Yeah, oh well, right? Now, speaking of prisons, this is a dandy. Down in Talabama, they got them some of the, because they couldn't handle it by themselves, of course, because it's Talabama. But they got themselves some of them sweet, 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 sweet federal government dollars for COVID relief. And Governor Meemaw has said New York Congressman Jerry Nadler is overstepping and trying to tell Alabama how to govern. Read my full statement below. The Democrat-controlled federal government has never had an issue with throwing trillions of dollars toward their ideological pet projects. Their political agenda is glaringly obvious: to send a letter to the U.S. Treasury on the first day of our special legislative session asking the federal government to ignore the laws they themselves wrote and to overstep our Alabama-driven plan. I'd suggest to the New York congressman, and for that matter the federal government, that they worry more about avoiding the pending government shutdown and ruin and running the country. The fact is, the American Rescue Plan Act allows these funds to be used for lost revenue, and sending a letter in the last hour will not change the way the law's written. These prisons need to be built because she wants to use COVID relief money to build prisons. Oh, really? Mm-hmm. We've crafted a fiscally conservative plan that will cost Alabamians the least amount of money to get the solution required. While our prison infrastructure is broken, our ability to govern is not. Same can't be said for D.C. Who's breaking government up there, Governor Meemaw? That would be your party, honey. Jesus, these people. Prisons. Subject line, shooter in the brain. Well, really, Robin, who among us hasn't accidentally spoken of shooting someone in the brain when looking for a laugh? All these damn traitors need to be charged accordingly and stop with all this wrist slapping. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Wrist slapping. Truth. And not very much of a slap at that. Oh, I'm sorry, Jude. Jude says I'd call in, but I'm having breathing difficulties, literally with my heart pounding. All in what you're having to do and endure as you read and walk through this to us. Very good work, painful as it is, dear Robin. Thank you, dear Jude. You take care of you, honey. You take care of you. You are very much loved. And let's run over back to the stress line. Jeremy in Vermont is with us. Hey, Jeremy.
Thanks, Robin. I'm pretty sure that story you just covered with the lady who said she wanted to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the head, that judge had had enough of it. And I don't know if the story you
Emmett Sullivan is a tougher cookie.
Well, basically, he went off, and he, without, you know, more politely than I'll say it, he basically said, "Why the fuck aren't you people getting more time? The serious crimes you committed, knowing they were crimes." And he asked why prosecutors are giving these assholes 4, 5, 6 months when they should basically be getting years, if not decades, for the shit they've done.
It's a damn fine question. I mean, what's going on in the prosecutor's office? Are they just so overwhelmed they're just trying to churn the files and get the cases over?
I guess so. And I mean, he made it pretty clear. I mean, this isn't right. And I mean, he said, you all knew what you were doing. You attacked the seat of the government. And then, I mean, he really laid it into her about, you know, you in fact came out and said, you want to shoot Nancy Pelosi in the head. And looked at her and basically said, you're lucky. You're probably going to get 6 months when you should be getting decades.
He's right. He's right.
He's absolutely right. I mean, who here doesn't think what she did was a form of treason? Saying you want to shoot an elected official in the head because you believe a big lie from one of the biggest liars that probably walked American soil in generations.
Precisely. I mean, are they afraid that the capacity, because I'm just guessing here, are they afraid that the capacity of the prison system to take in a few thousand insurrectionists is the prison system can't hold them? Because you know what, Jeremy, that's not a good sign.
Well, the problem is, Robin, they're white, and they didn't deal drugs or smoke a joint. I mean, if they'd done that,
yeah,
they'd probably be strung up and hung right now.
Well, see, that's what Clarence in South Carolina stand just said, January 6th sentencing, white privilege rules.
I mean, there's no clear point to the idea of white privilege that's going on with these people right now and the white sentences they're getting for the shit they've done. I mean, the worst one, I think the guy who... with a Nancy Pelosi death, his hand with his feet kicked up, and they saying we're coming for you, and then wrote on her desk or something, or stole her stuff. He got 6 months. What are they going to do when they find the people through the commission that removed the panic buttons or gave the tours? I guess, it's a couple weeks in jail, no big deal.
Yeah, you'll be fine. And by the way, I saw your note earlier. 7,000 more deaths and we'll cross 700,000 dead from a fake virus. Freedom was granted to so many with their last breath from a breathing machine. Heroin.
I mean, I think it's a horror number, I'm not sure, but they posted a picture, I shared it yesterday, of, you know, the nurse bending over the other vent tube and saying, don't worry, that beeping sound is the sound of freedom.
Oh, Jesus.
That's basically all I get, but I'm as mad as Jude is. I'm thoroughly pissed hearing these stories. And then, especially the story about Matt Gaetz down-dressing military members, when that coward wouldn't pick up a gun to save his fucking life.
No. Like I said, he'd...
And defend this country.
He would shit his pants at the sound of a BB fired in anger.
I mean, I'm equally mad at the the Army veterans and the people we're finding out did this. I mean, I've heard as much as even there's a former SEAL that attacked the government on January 6th.
Yes.
And I'm equally pissed as I am at him. I'm beside myself that he can sit there and down-dress these guys who have done things to the best of their knowledge protect us all in one way or another. Whether we agree with them all or not, they've done them.
And see, Matt Gaetz made reference to a lieutenant colonel who he said is now sitting in the brig. Yeah,
that's a funny story.
Yeah,
that's a hilarious story.
Then you tell it.
Well, basically, a guy came out and he was saying the higher ups in the Marine Corps fucked up in Afghanistan. And he was in military uniform. He's still a serving member. I think he's a lieutenant colonel. And he came out and basically the Marines clamped down on him. And they said, what you've done is insubordination, whatever the word is. And they said, this is what we're going to do. And he knew this was a possibility. They said, we're going to strip you of your commission, your retirement, and any benefits, and let you go free as long as you shut your mouth and leave the military. They said, if you don't, we're going to do more. He said, okay. And he doubled down like Trump does when he fucking lies and went after them again. And they came and arrested him, and they're going to do everything they already said they're going to do, but he's going to lose everything else, plus probably go to jail for months for running his fucking lips in military uniform while serving.
And I'm just waiting to see the story where somebody says, they're violating his First Amendment rights. Dude was a United States Marine Corps lieutenant colonel, okay? And that little old pamphlet called the Uniform Code of Military Justice, when you sign on, you pretty much, well, that's one of the things that you give up is your, yeah.
The whole thing about being government issue, I know people, they served, they had their opinions, but they kept themselves regardless because technically they couldn't speak out against the president or anything done politically in the president's name. They could not do it. It was even out of uniform on private time. They would not do it.
Well, right,
I
guess this Marine's daddy is saying, you know, it just ain't fair. He was calling for accountability. He's a whistleblower. Well, no, he disobeyed a direct order to stop that shit.
Well, it wasn't so much a direct order as we're kicking you out, we're stripping you of everything, but we're going to let you go free and not finally charge and get it. And that's when he doubled down and said, okay, well, watch this, hold my beer. And they came and they took him away and put him in the brig. And he's probably looking at a good while for this one. They're not going to let it slide because this is not the same administration that would have let it slide before.
So he put out a post. He put out a post, Jeremy. Get this. You know, this is the United States military. So I don't know who was surprised. He got big brass ones and said, what happens when all you do is speak truth and no one wants to hear it? But they can probably stop listening because I'm crazy, right? Colonel Emil, please have the MPs waiting for me at 0800 on Monday. I'm ready for jail. And you know what they did? They come and they got him and they took him to jail.
And he still sits there. He's not free on bail. And he's going to probably be spending a considerable amount of time away from his family in the next couple of years.
Well, you know, maybe when he gets out, he can join the next insurrection. Motherfucker.
Or join some militia somewhere and say, I was a soldier at one time. Freedom!
Yeah, I know. You okay?
That's all I got before I...
Are you doing okay, Jeremy?
Best I can. I mean, I talk to my mom nightly, and, you know, I see people post all the time that nobody's okay. Nobody's okay. I don't care what they say. Nobody's okay. This last 2 years has shaken everybody, and we're not used to this, and the constrictions it's done. It's done things to the business I work for that haven't threatened me yet, but we've had some close calls, and I'm like you. I can't afford to lose my health insurance. It keeps me alive. For the most part, it makes life a lot easier. But that's something that could eventually happen if things get any worse.
God.
You know, but for the most part, I'm okay. I mean, I've got one niece who's, I think she's, I should know this. She's 8 or 9, so she's not able to get the shot yet, so we all have to protect her. I've got one cousin of my mom who swears we're all going to die in 5 years because this is a programmed, you know, detonation shot. We all got going to kill us down the line. Oh. We're that smart. We're going to do it. So she won't get vaccinated, even though everyone thinks you're fucking crazy. And my mom has drawn a hard line in the sand and said, when you're there, we're not there, to her, regardless, even though she's a good person for the most part. Because of these crazy beliefs, she doesn't want to endanger any of us, plus my niece.
Right, I get it.
And they said, until you, and this lady will go around my grandma without a mask on, because she doesn't believe in masks either. And my grandmother's 90, give me 99 this year, 99.
Holy shit!
My grandmother's fully vaccinated, though, but still, if my grandmother caught this, even a racer case, it'd be the end. She'd probably be okay with that, but she doesn't want to go that way. I told her that. And
right.
Then she told my mom at first, well, I get it. I'm 99. She's like, you don't want to die that way, Mom. That's fucking miserable.
Who wants to die on a vent?
Right. Well, I'm good. Hopefully.
I know, like, in November, if everything comes together like it's supposed to, you know, they will intubate me for the surgery. Because it's 8 hours long. And that unnerved me a little bit. But it's worth it. It's life-saving.
I put off going anywhere near our hospital because my county is now, it's been since this summer, it's been a blinking red county. We are on fire like everywhere else is with COVID. Hasn't affected our hospitals yet, but we're really not doing anything about it. In fact, for the last at least year, we've been helping some poorer people, you know, with assistance, and even putting the homeless up in some hotels because they have no place to go and they're more vulnerable than the rest are because most of them don't have shots because they've got mental illness or whatever. And this year, we drew a line in the sand and said, nope, fuck them. We got to care to the people coming here and look at our fucking leads.
Right. Just like they come here. I won't go down the river.
Yeah, we have to worry about tourists who are going to be here for maybe a couple weeks and fuck our own people.
Yeah, what's that saying? Play stupid games, win stupid prizes?
I'm going to apologize for my trash talking tonight, but I've had it.
I understand. Well, let me end our conversation and the program on a little bit of good news. Little Miss Three Names is having a hissy because somebody's getting subpoenaed by the January 6th Commission. Oh, dang. And so she was tweeting from the rooftops today. The Democrats supported, cheered, and funded violent anti-government riots all over America for a year, killing people and causing billions in destruction to private business. Now the J6 witch hunt is going after innocent people that had nothing to do with a random 3-hour riot. And it's all because she got an email. I'm a senior investigative counsel for the U.S. House Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. The Select Committee is seeking your deposition testimony and documents relevant to issues it is examining. Please confirm whether you are willing to accept services of a subpoena over email. God damn it!
But the real question
be,
is...
And then she, but then she said, we won't be playing your stupid games anymore.
But the real question is, Robin, if she can use a 50 cal again... to shoot at pumpkins or some dorks to prove Black Lives Matter killed people. That's what I want to know.
Oh, it's coming. You know it's coming.
Of course, I'm sure it is.
Blow up another priest.
Yeah, you have a good night, Robin.
You take care,
exactly,
Jeremy. It's good to hear from you, my friend. Take care. Bye now.
You too. Thanks. Bye.
Jeremy in Vermont. Thank you for calling in, Jeremy. And thank you. Thank you to Clarence. Clarence finished off Joey and Giraffe's challenge and took us down to 152 to go on Larry and Liberalville's challenge. And, well, maybe it'll come down a little bit further. And so we'll be kind of sweating it out tomorrow for Thursday, thorn in the front porch Thursday. But it's been, as ever, I love every moment that we get to spend together. Thank you to all of our subscribers, Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. You are all why this program exists. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. I don't know if... no moderators this evening, but that's okay. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, whiterosesociety.org. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you're listening live, about an hour from now, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, headon.live. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to please co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Please stay safe. Get your booster if you can. Get your vaccine to begin with if you haven't yet. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. All your first line defenses. Maintain your social distance. 15 to 20 feet, like Paul from Parts Unknown now tells us. Wear it all possible. And wear your mask. Goodness me, wear your mask. And of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, you know, I was just kidding when I was talking about shooting Nancy Pelosi in the friggin' brain, avoid that woman like the plague, because she is. Later.